Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
And be the man.
You gotta be the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. And yes, it is one of those very interesting calendar days. It's 1-11-11, or if you were Mace's, he's already at 1-12-11, so feel bad for there. We are sponsored by Click Wrestle, which is the official on-demand video site of Online World of Wrestling, and of course the home company, which is OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, your number one source for news, information, research, if you do what we do for a living. Phone number as always is 267-297-1397. If you are a member of Skype, which is the internet service provider of our phone lines, you can Skype Sir Rockin' two words and you will get on tonight. During the 10:30 portion of our show, Spug will be leaving because he is battling the great snow that is hitting the Northeast and Midwest as we speak. So we wish everybody that's listening in those areas stay warm and stay off the roads. Kevin K. Scott, who normally works for Under the Ring, which is the wrestling blog attached to the Poughkeepsie Journal. Our friend Phil Strom, who was here last week, is his tag team partner in that business. We'll stop by to break down everything that went on this past Sunday night at TNA Genesis, including a debut, a couple title changes, and some other interesting stuff. At 10 o'clock, we will be joined by Northeast Wrestling promoter Mr. Michael O'Brien. The promotion is celebrating, believe this or not, its 15th anniversary this Saturday at, funny enough, an arena that WWE used to use for TV back in the day in the Poughkeepsie area. I believe it is called the Mid-Hudson. I'm totally butchering the name right now, which is horrible.
It's the Mid-Hudson Civic Center.
Hey, and that's a great place to be because if you were with us last week, this voice comes in handy right now because last week we started a weekly series here called WrestleMania Memories where we are going to recap a WrestleMania if we have the time to get all 26 in between now and April 3rd. This week we'll talk about WrestleMania 2 a little later on in the show. But first, we have, as we did last week, a top-of-the-hour guest. He appeared as part of WrestleMania 6. He was the manager to the late, great Hall of Famer, Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig. His father is also in the Hall of Fame. His brother possibly might be in the Hall of Fame this year. And he's in our Hall of Fame because not only was he the Poet Laureate of the World Wrestling Federation back in the day, to this day, he is still known as the genius. He is Lanny Poffo. Thank you very much for being with us tonight, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. You've got a fantastic show. I was hoping that bumper at the beginning would end. Okay, how long is that thing? 10 minutes?
Not as long as some certain shows that I've listened to. They've got it down to about 60 seconds. And I was like, when they first played it for me, I was like, that's for me. Yeah. I was like, that's pretty cool. I appreciate that. For fans that have been living under rocks for the longest time, we all know who your brother is, and that would be the Macho Man Randy Savage. However, you two are pretty famous, but your dad is even more famous because of his heritage in the world of professional wrestling, and he competed in the territorial days and ran a very successful promotion in the Mid-South area called ICW. Talk about your dad, Angelo Poffo, and how early in your life and in Randy's life did you guys know what dad did for a living, and was it something always that was in your childhood?
Well, you know, everybody asked me the same question, and I'll tell you what, I didn't know any better. You know, everybody else got up, worked from 9 to 5. My father was nocturnal, and sometimes I'd wake up and there'd be a championship belt on my bed. You know, like, because he knew I'd get a bang out of it if he wanted something. So, naturally, a lot of the wrestlers don't want to get their children into the business. He didn't feel that way. He had a positive attitude toward wrestling. He wasn't angry about being a wrestler. And he taught us to respect the business. And, you know, and I have to say that wrestling for me has been nothing but a blessing from day one.
Now, you have a very stellar wrestling career. You have won titles all over, but you're also just as renowned for your managerial skills. What does it take to make that transition from competing in the ring to accenting and helping the story move along that's in the ring outside of the ring?
Well, first of all, I had nothing to do with this. All of a sudden, I showed up and that was my role. And I tried to get along. And, you know, of course, when I managed Mr. Perfect, a lot of managers, like, for example, I don't want to knock anybody, but Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey, their manager was Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette is a fantastic interview. Bobby Eaton is a great worker. You know, he does great high spots and everything, but he had a Huntsville, Alabama accent. You could hardly understand him when you were talking to him. He didn't project with his interviews, so he needed a manager. But in my case, Mr. Perfect was already a great interview. He didn't really need me on the interview. You know, he was, and a lot of times, if he was in the mood, I just let him go. But I had a gimmick where I did a poem and, where I would announce him in the ring. But as far as interviews went, he didn't need me, and, I didn't think I needed, I didn't insist on helping him with the interview because the man could handle it. If it was Bobby Eaton, I would have had to do the whole interview. But see, I was just garnished for Mr. Perfect. He was such a great worker, such an amazing talent. He didn't need me. But yet we were together, and it was the greatest time in my career.
If you're listening with us online, you can be a part of the WildTalkRadio.com chat room, just like Jersey Girl does. She says, Lanny, which did you prefer in your career, being a manager or being a wrestler?
Being a wrestler. I was an active wrestler for 21 years. From 1973 to 1985, that was my WWF days. Then in 1985, I was a babyface, Leaping Lanny, and a suffering hero, if you will. And then in 1989, I got a break as the Genius and the manager of Mr. Perfect. And that's where I wrestled Hulk Hogan on NBC. And that match plus my appearance on Regis Philbin was the highlight of my career, those two events. And what I can honestly say, Jeff Dougherty is my webmaster, and he asked me how I wanted the website to look, and I said, I want those two things featured because I have selective amnesia. Some of the things in my career I'd love to forget. Unfortunately, with YouTube, I can't control some of that. But I would like to just remember the two greatest moments of my career, my appearance on Regis and my match with Hulk Hogan.
Now, I just want to ask quickly a little bit about your in-ring style. In doing research for this interview, I found that you were one of the first wrestlers in North America to utilize moves such as the senton bomb and the moonsault, of all things. Did you ever, during that time when it was a lot of the bigger guys doing a lot of ground-based wrestling, did anybody just sort of look at what you were doing and say, kid, you're crazy?
Yes, it's been suggested that I was crazy, but not because of those things. Anyway, can arrest no convictions. But anyway, I don't like to be unoriginal. I stole that joke from Guys and Dolls, the Broadway musical. Okay, so if ever, you know, you can get it on Netflix. It's a lot of fun. But
good movie.
There is a lot of, I get credit for inventing the moonsault. That's not true. I invented it, like, about a day after I saw a video of Tiger Mask doing it to the Dynamite Kid in Madison Square Garden. And I said, I wonder if I can do that. And then, of course, I could. And now everybody can do it, and most people can do it better than I ever did. So they keep raising the bar. That's fine. I watch sometimes Rey Mysterio Jr., and I realize that he's better than I ever dreamed of being. When I met him, I couldn't believe he's not a tall man, but he's puffed out to the gills, and he has way too many tattoos. I have no tattoos. He has way too many, but that's just me.
I can definitely understand the tattoos there, sir. I'm untattooed myself, and probably keeping it that way for as long as I can.
Let me ask you a question. Are you Australian?
I am.
Okay, where are you coming in from? What town?
I'm currently located in eastern suburb town known as Wantirna in the southern state of Victoria. I'm nowhere near the floods, if that's where you're going.
After WrestleMania 2, which I did not appear in, but I was like an extra, possibly going to be in the Battle Royal, which I didn't get to be in. I went from there to Australia, and I wrestled in Sydney, Perth, Melbourne, and Brisbane. Had a great time. Are we allowed to use profanity or in this show, or I forgot?
You can't. Then we can. Doesn't
your
matter.
Call, sir.
Your call.
Okay, let me clean it up a little. What is Australian foreplay?
Uh-oh.
Australian foreplay. Okay. I do not know, sir.
Okay. Brace yourself, Sheila.
I kind of heard a version of this story from Ricky the Dragon Steamboat that he was a part of that WrestleMania 2 tour as well. How big a nightmare was that? Because you basically wrestled, or you at least you were a part of the LA crew of that event. And then you guys basically, was it like right after the event? If you could pick up from that, what was that situation like to be in LA at probably 8 o'clock Western time and then be told, okay, guess what? We're going to Australia tonight, guys.
Well, we were in Chicago, and then they flew us to Los Angeles where we had about 4 hours downtime. Then we boarded a plane to Honolulu. I guess that's about 5 hours. And then we got off one Continental airline and, no, Qantas, okay? We got off one Qantas in Honolulu, got right on board another, and then 9 hours and 15 minutes later, we were in Sydney, and then another 5 hours later, we were in Perth. And I was exhausted. Plus, then I wrestled in Perth, and then we got back on a plane, go back to Sydney. But something happened in Perth that was the greatest moment of my whole trip. A 10-year-old Aborigine girl came up to me, and I can't do the accent, but she says, "Leaping Lanny, you're my favorite wrestler. can I have your autograph? And I looked at her, and I wanted to say, you're so cute. Ooh, you're so cute. I had never seen an Aborigine, but, oh, she was so cute, and she had a perfect Aussie accent. And, oh, that made my time. But here's what I did wrong, proof that I'm not really a genius. At the last of it, I went to a nude beach, and I guess I was having a little too much fun, because when I got on the plane, a couple hours into it, my butt started to itch, or my bum, as you say in Australia, and I didn't know what it was, but then it got worse. And then what I had realized is my butt had never seen sunlight, and it was burnt. And now I had to sit down on it for like 2 days, you know, flying. So that was like a big mistake for me.
At what point during your career did Dad basically say to you guys, this is the way I would handle your careers if I were you? And where did the Leaping Lanny come from? Was that Leaping Lanny from when you guys left ICW and then both signed in WWF? Or was that something that was always in your career?
No, it was always in my career. And it was actually my father's idea, because he was friends with Leaping Larry Shane. And if you ought to check him out on YouTube, C-H-E-N-E. He was a big star in Detroit. And an excellent talent, and a former boxer, and amazing guy. But unfortunately, he had a car wreck, and his career and life was cut short. And so he was Leaping Larry Shane. It's called alliteration if you're into that type of thing. You know, words that start with the same consonant. So I just called myself Leaping Lanny, and that was, you know, I stole it. So I was Leaping Lanny from the age of 18 till WWF.
For fans that don't know it, the ICW promotion was it based in Tennessee or Kentucky?
We were living in Lexington, Kentucky, and branching out from there. We got our tapes into West Virginia. We would travel to Tennessee. We would Ohio. I mean, we went everywhere, Missouri, Illinois. Long trips. No trip was too far. No payoff too small. You know, it was, I was one third investor with my father, my brother, and my dad. And, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. This is the reason when I got to the WWF, I cannot imagine people actually knocking Vince McMahon. They have never promoted a day in their life. They have no idea how problematic it all is. And, I think Vince McMahon, I hate to use the pun, but that word genius is thrown around so much. Vince McMahon is an actual genius. He's actually a combination of two things, balls and brains. And I don't think you can have both at the same time, but I think he's succeeded in that.
Now, when you got – who signed first, for fans that aren't aware of the story, who signed first? Was it Randy or you, or was it at the same time? And what was your initial feelings on meeting – Vince McMahon Jr., as George Steele called him last week? He kept referring to him as Jr. throughout the whole interview, and it confused everybody for a second. I was like, no, they're talking about Vince McMahon. It's okay.
They wanted Randy, and I got thrown in. They said, what can you do for my brother? He says, well, is he a heel or a baby face? I don't know. Wait a minute. Lanny, are you a heel or a baby face? And I said, well, if it's going to be underneath, it might as well be a baby face. You know? And I'm glad I did, because, you know, later on, you know, I got a break and turned heel. And, you know, Chief J. Strombo says, well, you can't be a heel. You're too good looking. And I said, well, you're a baby face, and you're the ugliest man I've ever met. So I had to prove them wrong. So I changed my persona from head to toe. And I was married at the time, and I had a few weeks off, and I was practicing my walk. And my ex-wife says, my wife at the time said, you're not going to walk into the ring like that, are you? And I said, yes, I think I will. He says, you've got the guts to do that? And I said, I don't have the guts not to. I said, I'm not big. I'm not strong. I don't have a natural look like, you know, you're not afraid of me like my brother's eyes. You know, I had to do something. And Terry Funk told me one time that you can be a great worker, but you can't make it in this business unless you're peculiar. So I said, since I wasn't born peculiar, I'm going to act peculiar. And that's what the genius did.
Lanny Poffo is our guest here on All I World of Wrestling Radio. The number, if you do wish to call in, is 267-297-1397. Don't be afraid to ask chat room questions. He does not bite. He's a baby face tonight, or at least somewhat.
Come on. Your dad, of course, is Angelo, and your brother is Randy, and you just mentioned Chief J. Strongbow and Terry Funk. But throughout your years in the business, from your promotion through WWF and the like, who has taught you the most and had the biggest influence on Lanny Poffo?
I would say my father, number one, and my brother, number two. Randy did not make it accidentally. He did it all on purpose. We would drive in the car, and he would split hairs. He would talk ad nauseum about different workers and different ideas and wondering if things would get over. And it was not a hobby. It was a full-time occupation for him. And a lot of people don't know this, but I'm going to expose it. Randy was an honor student. He was the kind of honor student that would get an A even if he didn't study. But then, you know, and he'll deny that because, you know, even to me, but I remember, he was in the National Athletic Honor Society and the National Honor Society. And he's a brilliant guy. And between the two of us, he's the genius. I am only not an imposter because I can honestly say that every poem you've ever heard me do was written by me. Everything was original. But am I a genius? Hell no. Is Randy a genius? I don't think so either. I think Vince McMahon is. And I'm pretty sure that Benjamin Franklin was.
Benjamin Franklin was very smart.
I believe so. He invented the bifocals, you know, and many other great things. Discovered electricity. I didn't discover any of that.
Now, from what I've been reading, well, this one little particular thing that I found on Online World of Wrestling, supposedly you had a trademark of bringing Frisbees to the ring with your poetry on them and throwing them into the crowd. First of all, is this true? And if so, how did you come up with it?
Well, actually, here's a coincidence. Have you ever heard of Al Costello?
Abbott and Costello? Oh, yeah.
No, Al Costello, the Fabulous Kangaroos. Al
oh, yeah.
Costello, Red Pepper, Roy Hepperman.
Absolutely.
The Fabulous Kangaroos from Australia. When I was a boy, they used to bring boomerangs into the ring, carved by an actual Aborigine, and then they used to throw cardboard boomerangs to the fans. And two of the fans that used to scamper for those Frisbees is the Macho Man when he was a boy and the Leaping Genius when he was even 2 years younger than my brother. And we would, boomerangs had pictures of of Al Costello, Roy Hepperman, and Red Berry, and information about them. You know, from a printing company. They were cardboard. They didn't work as typical boomerangs that were made of whatever Melaleuca trees that they made them out of. I don't know. So anyway, I was on the TNT show with Bobby Heenan, and the host was Vince McMahon and the late Lord Alfred Hayes. And I was like deathly afraid. This was my first chance to be on this show, and I didn't want to be boring, okay? Because I've seen a lot of baby faces that can't do that. So I decided to make a poem for the occasion, and then they went to black after the segment was over, and this man said, Lanny, that was great. From now on, you're going to do a poem before every match. And then the first thing I thought about was, I hope I'm up to that gimmick. You know, but I said, okay, great, thank you, I will. And then I agreed to it, of course. But, you know, I'm not insane. You know, the man's giving you a gimmick. You better take it. And so I bought these scrolls with poems on them, and I threw them to the audience, but it didn't even clear to the first row. I couldn't get any muscle on it. So I thought to myself, I can't do a boomerang. What could I possibly do that's going to really travel and soar and people are going to love? And I got it. I said, I'm going to get Frisbees, put a poem on there, and throw those to the fans. And then a couple months later, somebody from WWF marketing came up to me. I think his name was Baczynski or something. Started with a B and real long name. And he said, you mind if we market these? And I thought, do I mind? Oh, my God. You know, because I was desperately searching for any type of momentum I could find. And then they started selling them at the arenas for $3 a piece, where I make a nickel out of every $3 sold. And what I would do, win, lose, or draw, I would go up to the venue, and I would sign Frisbees or autographs or anything they wanted. I would do, after my match, I would sign them. And we sold out every single night, and we sold hundreds of thousands of Frisbees, and I still have hundreds of thousands of nickels to show for it.
We got a couple email questions at our inbox at radioandonlineworldofwrestling.com. Mike Shook wanted to know, says, I was watching WWE's On Demand channel and came across a series of bunkhouse battle royals WWF had, and lo and behold, there was Leaping Lanny Poffo in a suit of armor. Was that something that you came up with, sir, or was that WWE creative, and why? Did you wear it?
Well, at the time, there was no WWE creative. There was just Vince and Pat and George Scott, and that was it. And the thing I neglected to tell you about that TNT performance where I wrote the poem, I came out in a suit of armor for that. And then Howard Finkel got the idea, hey, why don't we book Lanny in the suit of armor? So let me just tell you the poem first. If I can remember it, look back through the annals of history and the Wrestling Hall of Fame, men from all nations with courage to spare who struggled to carve out a name. Now compare these high standards of valor to those chivalrous knights of yore with bravery staunch as their armor, their glory, both legend and lore. My medieval connection with wrestling, we lived a magnificent past. Though mindless skeptics may snicker and scoff, the winner is he who laughs last. Alive with the love of wrestling, I appear on TNT between Vince and Awful Alfred, the hottest show on TV. I'm not your average wrestler, but I wouldn't want to be. I never scream or kiss my arms. I'm happy just being me. I call myself Leaping Lanny. I validate what I say to every single wrestling fan who's watching USA. Yes, I believe in miracles as God has blessed this great land. I believe the referee will soon be raising my hand. And then Bobby Heenan acted like he was crying. Oh, that was really great, you know. And then they went to black, and that's when Vince told me I was going to be the poet now. And that changed, and, you know, and then Howard Finkel later suggested I go into the Bunkhouse Battle Royals, and it ruined my armor, and I eventually wound up scrapping the whole thing. I had to get rid of it. It was all ruined. It wasn't real armor. It was theatrical armor that you would wear if you were going to appear in Camelot, the stage play.
Oh. Now, you mentioned your Saturday Night's main event appearance in 1989 where you wrestled then WWF World Champion Hulk Hogan. This email came from Melissa Gianola of Long Island, New York, wanted to know, I've heard many stories of the WWF locker room situation that even when he was champion, Hulk Hogan dressed alone from the talent. Did you or your brother have issues with that? And at any point when Randy was champion, did he do the same thing?
Well, okay. The answer is yes and no. Yes, he had his own dressing room. Any champion did. You know, but Hulk Hogan was not stuck up or aloof He was very, 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 very nice to everybody. As a matter of fact, to a fault, okay? Because he didn't need to be as nice as he was. So even though, yes, he had his own dressing room, that was only because that was the way it always was. And then when Ultimate Warrior became champion, he got his own dressing room. And yes, the Macho Man had his own dressing room. And then, of course, any time there was a girl like Moolah or Wendy Richter or anybody, the girls all got their own dressing rooms. And I've heard some people say that, you know, Randy always made sure Liz got her own dressing room. Of course. You know, what is she supposed to do? Traipse around naked in front of Brian Knobs? You know what I mean? This is insanity that you would even think that that's something wrong with that. Of course, every time a girl wrestlers came in, they got their own dressing rooms, and the champions had their own dressing rooms. But it wasn't because they were aloof. It was just the way it was. And I have to say that Hulk Hogan was, you know, there's a lot of jealousy about him, but these are all nice people, and, you know, the dressing room situation was a positive one all the time. Well, most of the time.
Well, let me ask this question, because it's also tied in with the Saturday Night's Main Event. What is he like to be in the ring with Hulk Hogan? Because we've heard different stories of that he, for a 300-pound man, he's one of the lightest people to work with. Is that true? And who is the stiffest, toughest person you've ever been in the ring with?
Okay, just remember, I'd rather have your envy than your pity. That's my motto. yes, Hulk Hogan is, somebody to be, he's a hard guy not to be jealous of. I mean, he had the world in the palm of his hand. And I would rate him an excellent worker. I did everything he wanted to the best of my ability, and it worked out great. There's a tremendous size difference between us. If I were to sit on his lap, my feet wouldn't touch the floor.
Wow.
You know, so if you can picture that, you know what I mean? So I remember when I became the Genius, I started working just a little effeminately, and then Hulk Hogan called me over and he says, "Lanny, you're working like a fag out there." Or in Australia, I think they say a puff, right?
not anymore, sir. Not anymore.
What's that?
Not anymore.
What do they call it in Australia?
I believe we just go with the generic gay now.
Okay. Whatever is politically correct. So he says, "Lanny, you're working like a fag out there." And I said, "Do you want me to stop?" He says, "No, I want you to do it more." I said, "I want you to do it a lot and do it even more. I want you to wrestle like you're Jim Barnett." And,
oh, wow.
And then he says, "I've got an idea where I'm going to mock you. Is that okay?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I mean, I'm not going to say no to Hulk Hogan anymore of where I've say no to Vince McMahon. You know, I'm not a genius, but I don't have to be completely stupid. You know, I know that if he's got an idea, I had better listen. So I did everything he wanted to the best of my ability. It worked out terrific. And, you know, when you talk about my father, my brother, Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon, I have nothing but appreciation for them, because if anybody ever remembers, it will be because of theirs. And we wouldn't even be talking now, because I wouldn't even be interesting enough as a historical figure for you to even spend time with on your show. So the reason that I'm on your show is because of them. It's all about supply and demand with the best for me.
I don't know where to go after that one. I've never heard anybody say that. When we talked with George Animal Steel last week, Amber's Beefcake, they both talked about their feelings when they were told about the concept of WrestleMania and were amazed at years later, it is still going on. What was your reaction from coming into this collective? Because in 85, 86, there was still, the Crockett's were still going, and there were still some territories out there like Florida, and Lawler and Jarrett had their thing in Memphis and a few others. But this collective was being built that had Randy and Hogan and Piper and Orndorff and names like Beefcake and everyone. Going into that, did you ever think after the first couple WrestleManias that the promotion would survive? Or did you think, wow, this is the biggest gamble ever done and my father would never have gone for this? Or maybe he would have.
Well, my feeling was to ride the wave as long as it carried me and to make all the money I can and save it. And that's always been my mantra. I asked myself, what would Warren Buffett do? And I do that. And because of that, you know who Warren Buffett is, right?
Very good role model to have.
You know, and he lives in a... he lives in the same house in Omaha, Nebraska that he's had for the last 30 years. And he's got everything he wants in life, but he has nothing to prove to you. And if you go to his house, it's a nice house, but it's nothing that a millionaire or the billionaire would have. And yet, he is that. So if you come to my house, you'll find that it's a modest home. But I have one thing that, let's put it this way. There's one thing I lack that everybody else seems to have, a mortgage. I do not have a mortgage, and when I hear about foreclosures, it doesn't affect me. When I put spine to feathers, I have a clean head about waking up for tomorrow's bread, okay? But, you know, it takes all kinds, and one of the problems with wrestling is that you're an independent contractor. In other words, they don't take the taxes out. You have to save your money and then pay your taxes at the end of the year. And that's where a lot of wrestlers have gotten in trouble because they treat their money like confetti. And then when it's time to pay the Piper, or I shouldn't say Piper because that's Roddy Piper, when it's time to pay the government, you say, my name is Flair, and the government says, I don't care.
Would you like to see that? Would you like to see that change, Lanny?
No, I don't want to see it change. Everything was fine the way it was.
I mean,
I do not think there should be a union in wrestling. The United Auto Workers have ruined the car business. Now Germany and Japan are making better cars than us, and their own greed. You see, it cannot work. A union in wrestling cannot work. Wrestling has been very, very good to me, and for the wrestlers that are complaining that after their long career that they're broke. The reason they're broke is for a very simple reason. If there's a hole in your bucket, it doesn't matter how much water that you put into the bucket. It's all going out in the sand.
Well, the only reason I ask, and I disagree with that the Japanese make better cars than we do, because of the simple fact I've never seen a truck from Japan last as long as my F-350. It's
okay,
a 99.
They sell more cars than we do. What I'm saying is the United Auto Workers kept asking for more money, and they kept getting more money, and then they kept making the consumer pay the difference. Well, the consumer finally got bored with that, and they started shopping elsewhere. And I just don't believe that these wrestlers that are complaining about the way they were treated, they ought to just be appreciative. And if they want to blame somebody about being broke, they should look in the mirror. Trust me, I was there.
Well,
you don't get successful in one day. You get successful daily.
Well, putting aside the money aspect, wrestling does take a tremendous toll on the body, the travel, the in-ring time. Would you like to see more done in that aspect for health care of the wrestlers?
Well, let's put it this way. I am against all doctors. If I had glass in my eye, yes, I'd go to a doctor. But doctors don't know anything about health. Doctors are legalized drug pushers. And all they care about is paying off their student loans. And I don't really respect the American Medical Association or the Food and Drug Administration. It's all about money. They're more corrupt than the mafia. So if I now I have a very good diet. I'm 56 years old, and I never go to the doctor because I have never met a 56-year-old doctor that looked as good as me.
That's an interesting analogy. I never
Fair
expected
enough, sir.
That. Yeah.
Well,
I want to steer.
I read about health foods all the time on the internet, but be careful about that too, because they all have something to sell too. In other words, you gotta read between the lines there. You know, it's like, okay, doctors just want your money, but guess what? Health food aficionados want your money too. So in other words, they're all whores. So what we have to do is try to pick and choose who's zooming you, you know. There's sincerity is a very rare thing.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Just to steer it back towards the wrestling, we always ask this question, and you've told such wonderful stories so far tonight in past interviews that I've listened to you, and I must say that you are one of my favorite characters of all time from wrestling, because as a little kid, I remember the poems and remember you with Mr. Perfect and all that, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up your ass. I'm being dead serious when I say that you are one of my favorite characters from wrestling.
I wasn't accusing you of blowing smoke. I'm continuing you to embellish. I'm begging you, please embellish on that. That's all right. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But no, I mean, when we were we asked this question of everybody, and you can choose to answer or choose not to. It's up to you. But you've spent a tremendous amount of time in the back and with the boys. What is the best rib that you have seen pulled, had pulled on you, or pulled on someone?
And you can steer it towards Mr. Perfect, because we've heard that he was one of the most tremendous ribbers of the 80s, 90s, WWF.
Well, actually, when I got fired in the WWF, and then they brought me back about 6 months later as the manager of the Beverly Brothers, Randy warned me that there were about 8 people that are now think it's funny to move their bowels in your suitcase.
Ooh.
So, the people that were doing that, well, I mean, who wasn't? But, you know, there was a lot of that going on. The obvious ones were the British Bulldogs, you know, the Nasty Boys, hence their reputation, you know. But it was going on. So I thought to myself, I cannot tell you how much I would like to not be involved in this rib, you know? So anyway, so what I did, my first booking when I came back to manage the Beverly Brothers was in Rochester, New York, and for TV. And I hid my suitcase so well that I couldn't find it either. And that'll give you an idea of who the genius is, you know. It's just a gimmick. As a matter of fact, it might have been a rib. So that, you know. So anyway, now about the best rib, I'm just scanning my brain. First of all, let me just say this. I hate ribs because, especially when my grandfather used to say in Italian, gioca dei mani, gioca dei villani. The joke of the hand is the joke of the villain. So it's a, they say it's a rib, but I've never done ribs. I don't like them. And I think the reason that nobody decorated my suitcase, I was wondering why didn't they? And I came to the conclusion there's only one thing about it. They were afraid of my brother.
Whoa.
Because it would have been real, real bad for you. Yeah, don't fuck with my little brother. So anyway, I'm just trying to think if there was ever a good rib. There was a famous rib, and I wasn't there. But back in the past, Johnny Valentine, the father of Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Are you remember?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I know the name. He was involved in the Flair plane crash, unfortunately.
Yes. Yes. that's what, and he was about to get the push of the century, which he earned. But unfortunately, that was his last match after that plane crash. You know, that was it. He never was able to walk without crutches anymore. And it took a lot of determination to even do that. Well, there was the Alaskan, Jay York. Have you ever heard of him?
That name, unfortunately, slips me.
Okay, well, he was an excellent fellow, a great worker, and, you know, I now realize that I'm talking to younger people, right? So anyway, but everybody's younger than me now. Jay York had asthma, and he had an atomizer filled with bronchial asthma medication. Are you familiar with this?
Oh, yeah. I'm also familiar. I think I know this story that you're about to tell, but go ahead. This is very interesting stuff.
Okay, well, I think this whole rib sucks myself. But, oh, and I just thought of a good example to tell after this, so remind me.
Mm-hmm.
This is an example of a bad rib. Jay York comes back from the dressing room, and he's got asthma. So he takes his suitcase, and he goes in, and he gets his atomizer, whatever that's called, and he puts it in his mouth, a bronchial inhaler, I guess, and he sucks on it, and he starts choking and coughing and wheezing and everything. Johnny Valentine had taken lighter fluid from his cigar. He used to smoke cigars from his lighter, and he poured it into the medicine of the atomizer. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
So instead of medicine into his lungs, he is now putting lighter fluid.
Dear Lord!
You know, so it almost killed him, I guess. So
that's awful.
Johnny Valentine it's horrible. So Johnny Valentine is laughing. So, Jay York goes to his car and gets a gun. And I guess Johnny Valentine had a Halliburton suitcase, which is like the finest suitcase in the world. You know, and, you know, that Ric Flair uses, and I even have one because I fell victim to peer pressure. You know, all the best wrestlers have that. So, you know, to me it's an overpriced, you know, thing. I mean, it's not functional. It's a scream success, though. So what he does is he takes the gun and he shoots the Halliburton of Johnny Valentine and then points it at Johnny Valentine's face. And then Johnny Valentine goes to the bathroom in his pants, of course. So this was the end of the rib, and nobody ever messed with Jay York after that.
Who wouldn't?
Now, to me, that's not a good rib. That's a horrible story.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you an example of a good rib. And, you know, even though I acted like a homosexual when I was the genius, I want to tell you that I am not gay, and I did this to try to fatten my wallet and try to prove Jay Strongbow wrong. Yes, you can be good-looking and be a heel. And I want to give you some examples. Nick Bockwinkel is a very handsome man. He was a heel. My father was a handsome man. He's a heel. My brother never had problems getting a girl. He was a heel. Rick Rude is a handsome man. He's a heel. How many examples do I have to name? The late Gorgeous George, the first one in 1945. He was actually somewhat gorgeous. I didn't think so, but, you know, he spent a lot of time on it. And, in other words, it doesn't matter. A baby face can be ugly and a heel can be good looking. It doesn't matter. You said you talked to George Steele. He'll never say that he was a good looking man, yet he made money as a baby face and a heel. Because you know why? He knew how to do it. That's why. It's working with what you got. So anyway, let me tell you the best rib I've ever seen in my life. And this is a rib where nobody got hurt, nobody got embarrassed, everybody had fun. And there is no victim in this story. Isn't that a better rib?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
better than trying to put poison in somebody's atomizer. You know, I'm sorry, but maybe something's wrong with me. I don't think that's funny.
No.
Okay. So anyway, I am wrestling in 1983, right before 84, right before my daughter was born, for Bill Watts, one of the smartest men I've ever met. He used to say, if you don't like it, buy your own territory. And I thought to myself, wow, what a man. You know, anyway, there was this, I think Tom Zink canceled out his bookings. He had a tendency to do that. He did that in a few places. Tom Zink came to the Mid-South Wrestling for Bill Watts. He lasted about a week and a half, and then he left without his notice. And Bill Watts is pretty smart. He doesn't pay you for 2 weeks. That way, if you pull a stunt like that, he keeps the money. So, you know, I think that's pretty good. So, and then the guy tried to get his money back, and good luck trying to get money back from Bill Watts. I mean, and I'm putting Bill Watts over. I think he was an excellent promoter and an excellent man. He's, I really respect him to death. I mean, not to death. I mean, I respect the hell out of him. Okay, I am not a homosexual, but I met a man in that territory that I absolutely fell in love with in a non-sexual way, and I'm talking about Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He was funny. He was hilarious. He's good-natured. He's brilliant. You talk to him, you know, you're in the car with him. He's interesting, but he is also so much fun in the dressing room. And when Tom Zink defected, they brought in a guy that used to do jobs on TV, I mean, lose matches on TV. They called himself Johnny King. You know, that's a name that he probably made up. But he was a nice fella, pretty good worker, and now he got a break. He took all of Tom Zink's bookings. Well, finally what happened was 2 weeks later he got his first payoff. And he goes to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and it looked like he took his whole payoff, went to the Country Western store, and made himself look like Porter Wagner or Hank Williams Jr. He got himself duded up with cowboy boots, cowboy hat, jeans, and a vest, and I don't know what he was wearing. But he looked pretty good, or he looked ridiculous, depending on how you looked at it. So,
are you still there, sir?
What's that? Are you there? Did we... Hello? Hello?
Mr. Poffo, are you still there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Mr. Poffo.
Sorry.
We seem to have lost Mr. Poffo.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. We seem
sorry
to
about
have,
that.
We seem to have lost Alan for the second, so...
Nope, I'm still here. Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Oh, yes, I can. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, what happened? It's just amazing that five people can talk, isn't it? You know, in my day, we didn't have these contraptions. So what happened is Johnny King came into the dressing room dressed up in what looked like $1,000 worth of cowboy attire. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to envision this guy in all this wardrobe.
Okay, so anyway, he was the hit of the dressing room, and he was enjoying the attention. Everybody took one look at him and said, oh, boy, with your first paycheck, you didn't get mutual funds. You didn't invest in the stock market. You didn't get real estate. What did he do? He goes out and gets himself duded up. So Grizzly Smith had fun with him. Everybody had fun with him. And the guy was a fun guy, and he was enjoying the attention. So now here it is, after the show is over, and I'm in the dressing room because I'm riding back with Duggan, and he's in the shower, and I'm standing there next to Johnny King, who is the star of the show, with his cowboy gimmick. So then out of nowhere, Jim Duggan comes out of the shower completely naked with maybe 2 inches of soap all over his body, suds, you know. So he goes, run in, and that's the term when you run into the ring and you beat up the heels of the baby faces. But, of course, there couldn't be a run-in because the show was over. And he says, he goes, you know how he walked, right? Run in with that boom, boom, boom that he used to do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he goes for the door, and then he makes a left turn and he knocks over Johnny King, who's all dressed up to the nines. And now you got a 300-pound naked man on top of Johnny King, and he can't do anything about it because he's enormous, you know, and he's rolling all over him with all his soap. And I laughed so hard, I thought I was going to die. So then, about 2 years later, I'm in the WWF, and Jim Duggan comes in, and lo and behold, we go back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we were talking about the soap monster, is what he called it. So, you know, I was never a good dresser. I was always looked like I fell out of a cat's butt, you know, and I made no real effort to, you know, to dress up. So he was in the same shower. He put on the soap monster suds, and he came saying, run in, and he walked to me, and I ducked my head, but he stopped short. He didn't do it. But we still had a great time, you know. So it took 2 years to finish that rib. But see, that's a fun rib. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got humiliated. Trust me, Johnny King loved it. It's probably his greatest moment in wrestling. So that's the answer. That's my best story.
Yeah. Before we let you go, we found on the website that you do have, which is geniuslannypuffo.com, you have two different things that go on besides your acclaimed books, which can be purchased from that site. What led you to get involved in anti-smoking campaign with the youth of Florida?
Okay, first of all, my daughter is a non-smoker. So, you know, I'm divorced, but if there's one thing my wife and I are proud of is that we produced a non-smoker. And I read that non-smokers are less susceptible to the five nightmares of youth, which are, number one, bad grades, number two, dropping out of school, number three, drugs / alcohol, number four, teenage pregnancy, number five, teenage suicide. So for some reason, non-smokers do not suffer from these maladies. And I can't prove why that is, but I do have an idea. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. And if you stand up to smoking, you have a good chance of standing up to peer pressure the rest of your life. But I was so proud of my daughter, and I thought to myself, why can't I do this for other people's daughters and sons? So I did. And I think one of my limericks is from Australia. If I can remember it, a cigarette smoker from Perth had smoked shortly after his birth. Is it any wonder he's feeling down under? His lungs are declining in worth. And a Canadian smoker named Faye smoked more than a pack every day. I asked her how come. She replied, because I'm dumb. I guess that's a good answer, eh? So I tried to make the smoking. It's 335 limericks, all about smoking. When Columbus arrived on our shore, he discovered tobacco galore. The peace pipe was passed, although peace didn't last. The pipe killed more people than war. I've always refused to comply with smokers who want me to try my first cigarette, which I haven't had yet. I just tell them, no thank you, goodbye. If smoking is cool as they claim, then why is it always the same? The first time you try, you wish you could die, the last time achieving your aim. When Sheila earned her PhD with her boyfriend of equal degree, dissertations got tough, so they smoked off the cuff. How stupid can smart people be? So anyway, these are just some of the limericks, and it won the Jarson Beck Award for Excellence in Children's Literature, and it placed in the Newbery Award. It was considered. It was nominated. So, and it just went into the second printing. The publisher is White Bouquet, but the best place to get it is on my website, geniuslannypuffo.com, and I'll autograph it almost any way you want it.
Definitely go to his website. Definitely interact with him. He will reply to emails, which is a great thing. We want to thank you so much for being with us tonight. Coming up after the break, from one family with a promoter to another promoter. Michael O'Brien of Northeast Wrestling will be joining us here on All In World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back. I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaking and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine. When I'm near the girl that I love best, my heart beats so it scares me to death. When she touches my hand, oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Mm-hmm.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
On Sunday, January 30th, 2011, the entire wrestling industry will converge to Boston, Massachusetts, for the 2011 WRAs. It's the biggest public award show for the wrestling industry, and it only happens once a year. The voting booth is now open. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com to vote up to once per day for all of the coveted titles, such as Wrestler of the Year, Interview of the Year, Best Pro Wrestling Talk Show, Match of the Year, Hottest National Wrestling Babe, and many more categories. If you are in the wrestling industry and would like to participate in this year's festivities, either live or via Skype, for priority accommodations, please contact showdownnews@aol.com. We will see you on January 30th. For more information, please visit WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
Friday, January 14th, Running the Ropes welcomes Isis the Amazon, better known from her advertisements as the 6'9" Aloisa from NXT Season 3.
I'll be unstoppable. I'm going to be a beast, and I'm going to dominate.
Listen in as Isis gives us her take on topics such as her release from the WWE, NXT Season 3, Vicky Guerrero, and so much more. Submit your questions via email at runningtheropes@yahoo.com and get your questions read live on the air. All this and more on Running the Ropes, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the evolution of online entertainment.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Jerry.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday. Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pogue, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pro use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey, you, go! Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey! You go! Bye-bye.
On Sunday, January 30th, 2011, the entire wrestling industry will converge to Boston, Massachusetts, for the 2011 WRAs. It's the biggest public award show for the wrestling industry, and it only happens once a year. The voting booth is now open. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com to vote up to once per day for all of the coveted titles, such as Wrestler of the Year, Interview of the Year, Best Pro Wrestling Talk Show, Match of the Year, Hottest National Wrestling Babe, and many more categories. If you are in the wrestling industry and would like to participate in this year's festivities, either live or via Skype, for priority accommodations, please contact showdownnews@aol.com. We will see you on January 30th. For more information, please visit WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You go Wild Talk. Wild Talk. You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go. Bye bye.
Hey, baby, I ain't asking what you do. No, 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 baby, I ain't asking what you do.
You're just a bigger, bigger, bigger hungry dog.
Oh, we will do. Don't be a stingy little mama. You're about to starve me half to death.
Welcome back to All I Will Wrestle Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. AllIWillWrestling.com is our official website where you can join the OWW Genesis Forum and do tons of great stuff, including our takedown area and get updates on WWE, TNA, ROH, and tons of indie promotions, including one we'll talk about in a second. But for every great indie promotion there is, like Northeast Wrestling, there is a story that came out of Brush Fork, Kentucky, This story came from our friend April Hunter, who you can see at aprilhunter.com, and will be visiting our program in the next few weeks to talk with us. The professional wrestling card at the National Guard Armory in Brush Fork Saturday night was real, but the promoter's promises proved to be fake. This gentleman's name is Ernest Mac Shell. He is 31 of London, Kentucky. He was arrested late Saturday night. Soon after, the wrestlers who participated in his program, billed as Dare to Compare, learned that Shell didn't have any money to pay them, nor to pay other people who worked the event. This is a quote from Deputy W.E. Rose of Mercer County Sheriff's Office. Quote, he had promised to pay and provide motel rooms for all the wrestlers who appeared here Saturday night. Two of the wrestlers, Jim Neidhart and Diamond Dallas Page, flew in to participate in the event, but all of the others drove here. Some came as far as Nashville, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, and go to AprilHunter.com because she's got a great story of nearly dying on the way to this event. Here's the funny part. Mr. Shell actually contacted the Mercer County Sheriff's Department in early December to hire off-duty personnel to provide security for the event. Rose said that he and other deputies arrived at 6 p.m. and at about 11, Shell's booking agent told the officers that they should go keep a close eye on Shell. Quote, he said that Shell didn't have any money and that he thought he might try to skip out. About 5 minutes later, the Army manager came and got us and said, you guys might want to get up there. This guy's about to get his butt kicked. Rose had said that several of the wrestlers had cornered the 5'8", 140-pound Shell. Rose said that 26 wrestlers in all, including Neidhart, Page, Chase Stevens, Chance Prophet, JD Maverick, and Abel Hunter, according to some others, provide promotional information concerning the event. He had billed it as being a part of East Coast Wrestling Promotions. Mr. Rose has currently been charged with 10 counts of obtaining services under false pretenses. His bail was set at $50,000, and wow. We mentioned that first because we're now going to go in a totally different direction in a promoter who has done things right, and he's done them right for, amazingly to say this, 15 years. He is Michael O'Brien. He is a promoter of Northeast Wrestling. And we thank you for being with us this evening, sir. When you're a promoter and you hear horror stories like that, do you sit there and go, thank God I'm not like that? Or do you go, oh God, now how am I going to try to book some of these names who went through that?
Well, actually, first off, thank you for having me on. Actually, neither of the two. What I say to myself is, I know some wrestlers and some promoters, and at times myself, I say, regulation of professional wrestling and athletic commissions and the extra fees that you have to pay, having the bonds and licensing fees and taxes, etc., we would all like to have more money in our pocket. But if wrestling was regulated in more places and in these states, and this person had to prove that, you know, that he had money, that he could get himself a surety bond, in New York State, you need two of them. If I promote in Pennsylvania, you need one. If you skip town with ticket money, they cash in your bond, and they can take care of the fans. You don't pay the wrestlers, there's another bond for that. They cash it in and pay the wrestlers. State of New York, you do a background check for yourself, all the officers of the company. You have to send in fingerprints. They do criminal background check. They do credit background check. And to have these surety bonds, if, you know, an insurance company is going to give you a $20,000 bond, a $10,000 bond, you have to prove that you have some money behind you. So, you know, do you want to be regulated and pay this extra money, you know, pay the taxes and pay the state licensing fees every year? Maybe not necessarily, but if that was in place, promoters like this, these fly-by-night guys, they wouldn't be around.
Now, for fans that aren't aware of it, Mace does have a story, because Mace is, for fans that aren't aware of it, if you're new to our program, thank you for joining us. Mace is a trained wrestler who works out of Australia, and during our break said, oh, do I have a good one for this? And the promoter might cringe when I tell him.
It's not so much that. It's more along the lines that I've dealt with little scumbag promoters like that in the past that have promised that, yes, we'll pay you, we'll pay your hotel, we'll pay for your transport and stuff like that, and then never delivered in the end, leaving me at some points anywhere between $400 and $600 out of pocket, depending on which method I'm using to travel. So guys like this are scum of the earth, and it's a real shame that guys like this somehow get away with running a promotion, and it's just a real pain for guys like myself who are indie wrestlers who are trying to live their dream and keep getting screwed over by scumbags like that one. That's pretty much, I didn't really have much of a story. It's just more of an opinion.
I think the problem is, unfortunately, in wrestling, there's a lot of this now. Years ago, I mean, this may offend some people, but you know what? We're on the line here, and you know, you got to kind of tell it like it is. There's name wrestler. I'm going to, you know, I don't want to mention his name here. He might get a little upset if I just throw it out here. But he said, you know what, Michael? He said 20, 30, 40 years ago, he did say marks, which is a word that I really don't like, but it's almost the fans, I will say fans, were in the stands. Now they're in the locker room, and they're trying to be promoters. Someone they think, you know, years ago they used to be more of a booker than a promoter. Now you have writers on TV. Somebody says, you know what? I can come up with some things. I have some good ideas. They find out somebody that owns a ring. Hey, I'll pay that guy $500-$600. Let me try to run a show. If they've never done anything in business before, they don't have a business degree, and they have no money behind them, what do they expect? If you go into a show and this guy, let's say, had a $5,000, $10,000 talent budget or budget to run the show, but in his bank account he had $300, and you're going there saying, you know what, I'm going to make it all back in ticket sales. You never know what's going to happen. Weather could be bad. There could be something else going on in town. Or you could be promoting and putting on a show that people, frankly, don't want to see. And that's how they get into these predicaments. I think it's too easy this day and age for someone to be a wrestler and to attempt to be a promoter.
Well, you've obviously been doing it right, because WrestleFest 15 this Saturday night is to celebrate Northeast Wrestling's 15th anniversary. I mean, other than maybe WWE currently, and there may be some other promotions like ECWA and the Carolinas, how do you attribute this success? Is it a creative group? Is it you solo? What makes this promotion survive as long as it has?
Well, first off, it's the fans. We have loyal fans. I have some fans that are coming on Saturday night. The show is at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, Poughkeepsie, New York. Like you said, WrestleFest 15. WWE used to take Championship Wrestling. They did some Raws there. Championship Wrestling in the 80s. Starting 1984, you know, when they went national, and you know they had some laws there, you know, during the 90s. So it's a pretty cool prestigious building. But we've gotten emails and calls from some people that picked up some tickets that actually went to our first show on December 9th, 1995, Montgomery, New York, and they're going to be here, you know, 15 years later. So we try to do the best we can to give the fans the best that we possibly can. They get the most for their entertainment dollar. We bring in a lot of big names. We don't do anything to, you know, insult the intelligence of the fans. If we advertise somebody, they're showing up. People that we use, they have respect for me and the product and the things they have to perform in front of. And they give 100%, and they're fan-friendly. So, you know, if it wasn't for the fans, and also for the superstars. Thankfully, over the years, I've gained, our company's gained a nice reputation, so people want to work for us, and, you know, they put forth 100%, which, you know, they always should do, because, you know, fans are putting their money down to see these guys. You know, they used to be in WWE or WCW, TNA, etc. You know what? it doesn't matter if you're wrestling in Poughkeepsie, New York, or Paducah, Kentucky, or Madison Square Garden, if someone's paying $10, $15, $30, you know what? You got to give 100% all the time. So.
And as mentioned, you can go to the website. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. It is northeastwrestling.com, all one word, no spaces. If you go to certain locations in the United States, like FYE stores, and you're browsing through the wrestling DVDs, and all of a sudden you go, NEW, what the heck is that? Well, that's the promotion we're talking about here right now. This show, being that it's the 15th anniversary, has some names that are going to, fans are going to go, wow, how did he get in? Let me use, these are some of the names that are on this show. WWE Hall of Famer Sergeant Slaughter, former WWE superstar and Lucha Libre USA star Carlito is involved here. One of the matches is a five-man grab the gold ladder match that features Poughkeepsie's own the NOW or the Now and former ECW star Sabu. The co-main events, MVP versus Matt Hardy. And this one, when I saw the poster, and Phil Strum, the Poughkeepsie Journal, is the one who clued me into the poster, said, you got to see this. Like, oh, my God. It is WWE Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler taking on former ECW, former WWE, and currently, if the storylines are right, TNA star Tommy Dreamer. Take us through some of these matches for the fans, and especially the Now or the NOW, whatever you want to call them. Just clue some fans in on how these came to be, these big matches.
A lot of these are culminations of, you know, at least the Jerry Lawler and Tommy Dreamer feud, 15 years in the making, WrestleFest 14, we did have the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, last March, and if you want to check out WrestleFest 14, or any of our DVDs, like you said, you can pick them up at northeastwrestling.com or at highspots.com. But just one correction. Originally, we did have Carlito as a part of the event. He's no longer able to do it, but we do have Shane Helms, the Hurricane, you know, in his place. We do have Sergeant Slaughter. We do have the Hurricane, the Now, with Vic Delicious, Hale Collins, the local boys. They have wrestled throughout the South and throughout the country, not just for Northeast Wrestling. They're in what we're having, a Grab for the Gold five-man ladder match. Also in that match, along with those two guys, is Tommaso Ciampa. He's working now for Dragon Gate. He used to be WWE Developmental. Ryan McBride and Sabu. And the winner of this match gets a title match with our champion Matt Taven later on that night. Like you said, we have Matt Hardy, MVP. Matt Hardy, we did a lot of work with Shannon Moore, Jeff Hardy earlier this year. You know, we had Jeff on a bunch of events. Once Matt left WWE, we contacted him. He heard such great things from, you know, from Jeff and Shannon and Shane Helms and Christian, etc. You know, he only did one other, non-WWE event since he left there before he went to TNA. And, you know, the second one he's doing is for us. And he's taking on MVP. And him and MVP have a lot of history. They were partners. They wrestled each other. WWE and a lot of fans remember that stuff from TV. And to come and bring on this event, a lot of excitement for those guys. And, you know, the big one, 15 years in the making. You know, it started ECW Arena. They did it on Monday Night Raw years ago when ECW invaded. Jerry Lawler got upset about that. He always had problems with Tommy Dreamer, and ECW called extremely crappy wrestling. Tommy Dreamer even went down to Memphis, battled Jerry there. Last year, Tommy Dreamer wrestled Jerry the King Lawler. There was no disqualification match. Tommy ended up, you know, defeating the King, and this is it. Right here, you know, talking to these guys, this is actually billed as the final encounter. 15-foot-high steel cage match, Jerry against Dreamer. This could be it, according to these guys. Last time they're going to face each other. People are going to have a chance to see it in Poughkeepsie Saturday night.
We actually have in our chat room one of our folks says he's driving from an hour and a half away in New Jersey to be for this show. So tickets are on sale for this event. Tickets start at $20. You can get them through the Mid-Hudson Civic Center box office, northeastwrestling.com, ticketmaster.com, or the Collector's Realm, which is 44 Raymond Avenue in Poughkeepsie. You can call for information at 845-451-7620. Be like us at Online World of Wrestling Radio. You can find that there's a Northeast Wrestling fan page on Facebook that you can check out. What are some of the other dates that you do have? I know there's a couple others that are set. Talk about Spring Slam, because it looks like to be an annual event of your promotions.
Well, we have Spring Slam. It's coming to the Newburgh Free Academy High School in Newburgh, New York, on Friday night, April 15th. This is the sixth year that having this event, sixth annual event here in Newburgh. Last year, Shannon Moore, Jeff Hardy won the card, Tommy Dreamer, Mick Foley, Boogeyman. Year before that, we had Ric Flair, Jimmy Hart, Jerry Lawler, Ron Simmons. Year before that, Roddy Piper, and we had Kurt Angle against Samoa Joe. We've had, you know, just here in Newburgh, every year we've had, you know, those guys, Christian, Chris Jericho, Dudley Boys, you know, Jerry the King Lawler against Jonathan Coachman, which was, you know, it was a feud right off WWE TV, so the fans really, you know, really ate that up, and it's Friday night, April 15th, Newburgh, New York, and, for the last, 4 or 5 years, we've turned people away at the door, so, you know, Newburgh is very kind to us, and we're going to do the best we can, put on the best show we can for the fans.
Now, you mentioned all these names, and there are legends mixed in here, including on the show this coming weekend. Are you ever in awe and sitting there going, holy crap, I've got one of the hottest feuds that just came off WWE TV or TNA TV. They're here. I've got third slaughter coming to my building. Or is it just another day at the office for you after 15 years?
Well, in 1995, 1996, when we started, I guess you're a little bit in awe, but with the amount of work that you have to put into it, and, you know, after, you know, being exposed to the guys and, you know, being part of the business now, it's just another day at the office, you know, not in awe. Thankfully, a lot of these guys that have wrestled Madison Square Garden, wrestled down Australia, all over the world, WrestleMania, they come to shows like ours, and actually for it being a non-WWE or TNA event, they're actually in awe, which it means a lot to me and my crew. Now, I can't do this myself. I have a great crew, you know, employees. We have, you know, have a nice team in place. And because of that, we're able to be successful. And I heard you talking about independence before. And unfortunately, people in the WWE, guys that used to be there, you know, a lot of guys now, they didn't work the independence before. They didn't work the territories. They really don't know what it's like. The word independent promotion or independent is almost like, it's almost like a curse word because of the horror stories that you, you know, talked about earlier there in Kentucky. Thankfully for us, guys like Kurt Angle, Christian, Jerry Lawler, Dusty Rhodes, they say to us, you know what, you're not independent, you're just Northeast Wrestling, and, you know, that means a lot to us. We put a lot of work into it, and I guess, there you go. Like you say, we've used, years ago, when I think, now you talk about being in awe. I was, you know, in awe at the time. I remember about 10, 11 years old, watching Florida Championship Wrestling in my bedroom, watching American Dream Dusty Rhodes. I grew up in New York, you know, and I live in New York, so I was watching the WWF at the time too, and I was a big fan of American Dream Dusty Rhodes. And I remember, my father saying, what are you doing? It's 11:30 at night, you have school in the morning, you know, turn the TV off. And I would actually literally have the TV on as low as it could possibly be, face as close to the TV as it could possibly be, so I could watch it. And I'm not in awe, but it does feel good, let's say, being a fan of Dusty Rhodes, and then being able to use him and also being the booking agent for Dusty Rhodes. Anything non-WWE related, someone wants him for a seminar, interview, autograph session, wrestling show, you know, a corporate speaking engagement, I'm the man, you know. So if, you know, if anybody wants to book Dusty Rhodes or Jerry Lawler or JR, you can go to NorthEastWrestling.com. You can email me at newwrestling@yahoo.com, and I can help you out with that. So I guess in a way, on the inside, maybe in awe a little bit, because you go from somebody that watched them on TV, paid to see them, and now you book them on a show, or, you know, being a booking agent for them. You know, at the same time, you know, not just promoting and producing Northeast Wrestling. You know, I'm actually able to live out a dream. So, you know, pretty lucky man. You know, I had a couple of things I wanted to do when I was growing up. I wanted to play for the New York Yankees, or, you know, I wanted to be involved in a wrestling business. Unfortunately, not a good enough athlete or baseball player. Never got a chance to play for the Yankees, but you know, at least I'm in a wrestling business and very successful at it, and I'm very thankful for that.
And now, if you happen to be on their Facebook page and you friend them, scroll down a little bit, and I'm going to clue you in on something cool. If you haven't bought your tickets for this event yet, and do it, because this will sell out. TNN Entertainment posted this on your page Saturday, and you can get a free DVD when you buy tickets to the event online. It says here, buy your tickets now at NortheastWrestling.com and receive any Northeast Wrestling DVD of your choice free. Email newwrestling, all one word, at yahoo.com after you make your purchase. And don't forget to click like on their page for upcoming events. We really hope this event sells out and shows the indie wrestling community that, dude, this is a way to do it. This is a way we would like to see our friends. And I'm not ashamed to say this. I have a friendship with MVP going back to when he worked here in Florida. And to see promotions like yourself still going and telling fans that, yes, this is the way it should be done, is great for us to see. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck with this event.
Well, I thank you very much. We're going to do the best we can to put on the best show that we can on Saturday. Excited to work with MVP. This is the first event that he's doing since he left WWE. And thankfully, from the recommendations from a lot of people that we've worked with before and people currently in WWE that we have used before, know me and, you know, tell MVP, hey, man, if you want to work somewhere, this is a place to work. You know, we're blessed to have him against, Matt Hardy, and it's, you know, it's gonna be a hell of a show, and we're gonna do the best we can, and, we hope to sell this out. We're doing great. The great seats are still available, and, we have a lot of people to, you know, to thank for that. We have some great sponsors. We have, a couple local radio stations, 101.5 WPDH, WRV, you know, a lot of people that are a part of the team here. If you do it right, you do successful shows, you know what you're doing, you're a good businessman, you know, you could put together a, you know, great promotion. This isn't for everybody, and everybody can do it, although a lot of people do try, but, you know, if you do things right, you can be successful.
And we hope you are successful too. Stay with us for a second as we go to break here. Coming up after this, if you've watched this past Sunday's TNA Genesis and you're mad or you're excited, Kevin Scott, who works with Phil Strump of the Poughkeepsie Journal on the Under the Ring blog, will join us. And Mace will rejoin us because if you didn't listen to Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday, he had a few choice things to hear about that show. Here on Elvis Presley Night on I Will of Wrestle Radio, we'll be back.
Something I might have said. Please don't forget my past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love. Baby, it's just you I'm digging up. Don't stop thinking of me. Don't make me feel this way. Come on over here and love me. You know what I want you to say. Don't be cruel
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Coming soon to the Wild Talk Radio Network, a show that honors all the men and women who have sacrificed their lives, a show that pays respect, and a show that pays tribute to us. That's right. Join us as we pay tribute to ourselves, as we hand out awards for the best show moment, best phone call, and even best show. We will also be paying tribute to one of our own by handing out the WTR Lifetime Achievement Award. Join us in the coming weeks for the first ever WTR Awards right here only on WildTalkRadio.com.
This is Mace, the overworked co-host of Wrestle Talk Radio, OWW Radio, Otaku Talk Live, the offside producer, Cindy's cleaning boy, building janitor, advertising guru, Spug's bong holder, drink runner, Omega's transformer record keeper, and... oh, and bashing the books, all here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you decide to listen to a show that features a bit of the old-fashioned ultra-violence, people getting their heads kicked in, bones broken, and bloody crazy fights, then come on over and listen to Tap Outs to Knockouts live in the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com.
Mace, it's not all about the bloody stuff and the ultra-violence. Hey, this is Spud from Tap Outs to Knockouts, and if you want to hear the news, results, the technical side of MMA, then check us out on WildTalkRadio.com in the archives section. And oh yeah, we do have the bloody stuff.
And now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what are you guys doing in here? Get back to sweeping.
If you're looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Kim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio and Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks to Michael O'Brien definitely go to northeastwrestling.com to get tickets for their event. This song was made in tribute to the former, that's right, former X, as Gorilla Monsoon likes to say, X sounds better, TNA World Heavyweight Champion, as yes, hallelujah, we have a new heavyweight champion. It would be Mace's least favorite wrestler, Mr. Anderson.
Anderson. You gotta remember, it goes twice.
Yeah, that just annoys me. I'm not a big fan of his, as I mentioned Sunday on Wrestle Talk Radio, which I'll be back on for the Royal Rumble and whatnot. Joining us, as always, when we talk TNA post-pay-per-view is the contributor of ours for a couple of months now, and we're very happy to have him here. He contributes to Under the Ring, which is the blog, podcast, whatever that Phil Strom of the Poughkeepsie Journal has. And joining us from a part of the world that's about to get blasted again with tons of snow, hopefully he has got his snowblower and some Eskimo shoes and maybe some dogs ready. Kevin K. Scott joins us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure.
Yes, we'll let Mace, in a PG way, if he can clean it up for us. For fans that aren't aware, if you've been living under a rock, yes, the mystery opponent for Rob Van Dam was a Hardy, all right, and it wasn't Jeff's wife, and it wasn't any other Hardy. It wasn't one of the Hardy boys from TV fame. Sean Cassidy didn't come walking in the door. It was Matt Hardy, and Mace, you definitely did not dig the outfit that he brought to the ring. So pontificate on that, and then we'll let Kevin follow you, if he can.
Ooh, well, let's see. Let's go for a clean version. Matt, beep! Hardy. About the best I could do is a clean version of that. But yes, Mr. Freakin' Hardy decided to steal Raven's ring gear, seeing as Jeff stole the dude's gimmick. Was not happy at all about that, but there's always been controversy of whose hair he has stolen. He's either stolen Raven's, Tyler Rex, or Awesome Kong's, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, I mean, that was the funniest thing, is that I'm new to the twitting thing. My name is Wojcik. Mace will tell his later, and Kevin's got one as well. And I guess the trending thing that happened after the show was this Tyler Rex phenomenon. The funniest thing, Kevin, is that Mace and I did some math on this, and we were going, okay, 90 days. Yeah, okay, he's not going to make it. Well, this came from fanhouse.com. That Matt Hardy had actually stated in an interview with them that WWE had released him from his contract 2 weeks before it was officially announced on WWE.com at October 15th. So as soon as we read that, it was, you know, head slapping going, oh, that's how it goes. Your overall impressions of the debut of Matt Hardy in TNA?
Wow. I'm not sure how to even go about this. I hadn't seen Matt Hardy wrestle in probably several years at this point, because I stopped watching a lot of WWE programming. SmackDown completely off the map for me. I heard about the Fat Hardy jokes, but I really didn't see anything from him. And then, honestly, I think the last time I saw him was probably the MVP feud you were talking about earlier, back in, like, what, 2005? Maybe it seems like that. It might not have been that long ago. Matt got big. He didn't really look too good. Like I said, obviously, he looked, I guess every out-of-shape wrestler who has braids looks like Raven. But seeing him in the ring was just, it was crash TV. And I think after he blew up, maybe 2 minutes of the match, I just couldn't believe I was watching this on pay-per-view, which thankfully I steal.
For fans that aren't aware of it, not only do we have a brand new world champion, we've got new other champions. Now, stay with me, because if you watched Impact the last couple of weeks, NWO 2.0, oh, sorry, Immortal, has been going around saying, we want championships, and if you don't get it for me, you're gone. So Kazarian was charged with getting Jay Lethal's X Division championship. Guess what? He did. Knockout champion Madison Rayne, thanks to a coal miner's glove and an assist from Terra, defeated Mickie James. Beer Money is once again the World Tag Team Champions, taking out the Motor City Machine Guns, and we'll tease, since we're normally spoiler-free, wait till this Thursday's Impact if you're wanting to know what's going on with the guns. The match that a lot of us didn't want to see and were forced to sit through, Brother Ray defeated Devon by disqualification. Abyss became the World Television Champion when he defeated Douglas Williams, and I know what you're all about to go, but Alan, he was supposed to fight AJ Styles. Well, AJ Styles has a torn hip flexor and also an issue with his hip labium. He did make an appearance in the screwing of Douglas Williams. The Double J, Double MMA challenge with Kurt Angle ended over a stoppage with Jeff blatantly cheating like nobody's business and causing a gusher. Well, actually, if you watch that match, if you're a fan of the Botchamania kids, it'll be coming soon to an internet site near you. As mentioned, the number one contender going into this match would have been decided between Anderson and Morgan. Anderson wins. They work the head. Morgan worked the leg. My leg hurts. Bischoff walks out. Here comes the folding chair. We're all going, oh, God, he's going to chair shot him. And Uncle Eric sits in the ring and tells the story of, you're the number one contender. Guess what? You're fighting him right now. And out walks Hardy, smoking. And depending on who you talk to, Mason Think and Spugs said it looked like he was smoking a fatty boom batty. I've heard other people go, hey, smoking a cigarette. I've heard other people go, is that a lollipop? Who cares? The dude came out dressed like he was ready to go clubbing in downtown Orlando and instead hits the ring. And thanks to, stay with me because there's a lot of names, Eric Bischoff, Eric, Ric Flair, Mick Foley, Matt Hardy, Matt Morgan, I think Morgana the Kissing Bandit was involved here. Your new world champion is Mr. Anderson. Now, Kevin, unfortunately, this obviously has to do with the legal issues that the former champion, unfortunately nicknamed by some of my friends, the Crackhead Kid, will be going to court on the 20th. Right move to take the championship off of him here at the pay-per-view, or should they have possibly waited to see what happened in court and roll the dice, so to speak?
They definitely had to take it off of him. I don't know if they had to do it like this. It was, obviously with, the 20th coming up, he's pleading guilty. They know it's going to get a lot of press. And there's no way they want, anything to be written about Jeff Hardy, current TNA world champion, pleads guilty. I understand that. But, it's not like they didn't know this was coming. Why put the belt on in the first place? And even, past that, why make it a custom belt? Why go through all the trouble to spend, I think it was reported, $15,000 on this belt when you know that it's probably going to blow up in your face at some point? I really don't know what would have been the right way to get it off, get the belt off him. Maybe an announced pay-per-view match that might have, you know, helped out a little bit. I really think I need to seek professional help because I'm still watching TNA, and I'm just telling myself I don't understand anything they do anymore. It just makes no sense. We had 8 announced matches. I think 1 clean finish. The blade job unfortunately happened. That was hysterical. But you know, it's just overall, it's just a mess. They are truly an indie company, and I don't mean to say that to. You know, any offense to any actual indie companies, but TNA is not the number two company in the States. They are just the best bankrolled indie in the country. That's all they are to me right now.
And Mace, we talked about this Sunday night. Maybe not the best choice, but storyline wise, it kind of does work. With Anderson and Hardy and the chair shot, the legit concussion. that works storyline wise, but is Mr. Anderson really the best choice that TNA's got on the books right now, in your view?
Well, given the way things have been going storyline wise and everything, there's not really anyone else you could have put it on. You could have put on Matt Morgan, but then again, that would have probably not been one of your best choices either. I don't know. It just seems that with Mr. Anderson getting the championship, that it's one of those almost tinfoil hat situations, that the only reason why he's getting it is because the guy that they had planned to keep the belt on till Doomsday at this stage is quite possibly going to become Bubba's bedtime buddy.
It's a polite way of saying it. Now, everybody's going around saying that I'm sorry to turn this into, you know, court TV, or sorry, true TV, since it don't exist as court TV anymore. But for fans that are going, oh, Jeff's going to get away, Jeff's going to get away. No, he's not. Because as Sorokin pointed out to us a couple weeks ago, and we had this discussion, I believe it was from Wake Forest University's website, we found it, that even if certain charges are dropped, Mr. Hardy is going to possibly be a visitor of certain correctional facilities for a minimum of 45 days. So in my view, yes, good, get him off the belt. Obviously, hopefully this Thursday, Anderson walks up to EY and goes, your belt, my belt, we trade. It goes better with whatever you're wearing fashion-wise. Because, I mean, like you guys both said, you made this belt for the long haul, and now, not even a few weeks later, it's like, so, yeah, those drug charges you keep running from, they caught up to you, dude. And it's sad. I feel bad for the kid, but, you know, you made the bed, you gotta lie in it. Of this entire pay-per-view, Kevin, was there a particular match going in that you said, oh, God, I gotta sit through this, and it turned into, wow, I'm glad I didn't go and get a beer during that?
No. That's the only way to put it. The three that I was looking forward to were Kaz Weevil, obviously Beer Money, Motor City Machine Guns. Even their worst match is still incredible. And I was hopeful for the AJ Styles Douglas Williams affair. After the change, I think Abyss and Williams just didn't mesh. I don't know if I'm the only person that just thought they were in the ring going, okay, well, we have to do something. Let's get this over with. The Double J MMA challenge was just, I understand where they were going with it. It would have been nice if the cameraman actually caught the foreign substance being applied more so than they did the actual razor blade. That might have helped the story a little bit on that one. Team 3D probably would be the only one that could have been answering your question. But honestly, I don't care. I have no desire to watch Team 3D wrestle, let alone each other, year 2011.
Now, if you're wondering where Spug is, as we mentioned, Spug had to go because snow comes to his part of the country before where Kevin is living on Long Island right now. Go to wildtalkradio.com, click on the archive of this past Sunday's Wrestle Talk Radio, and he will pontificate amazingly on his thoughts on that match. Mace also hosts Tap Outs to Knockouts with him. Were you, as an MMA fan, Mace, insulted by what went on that evening, this past Sunday, with this Double J, Double MMA, and hopefully it goes away. Obviously, this Thursday, we're spoiler-free, but go to the other sites, including our forum area, OWW Genesis, and you can see stuff that's going on. But were you insulted, or were you sitting there going, thank God this is over?
I wasn't so much insulted as it's more of a thing of, I just saw it as a joke. Jeff Jarrett trying to do mixed martial arts. I'm sorry, but as Spug said on WTR the other night, there are 12-year-old kids training in this sport that could break Jeff Jarrett in half with the moves that guys do in MMA. So I just looked at it and went, okay, Jeff, have your little fun, and yeah, hurry up, finish it. Move on to something else. Go back to swinging guitars.
Yeah, or stop trying
to play with the big boys, because you sure as hell ain't one.
Yeah, well, we had talked about it on here, and Kevin does listen to us, and we're appreciative that he does sometimes. Mace and I talked about this, because before Angle was announced this past Thursday, we had said, is this leading to someone like Tito Ortiz or Chuck Liddell or someone, because of the relationship that Spike TV has here, and instead it was Angle, and wait, it's not a wrestling match. You said exhibition, Jeff, so, definitely interesting stuff there. The promo of the night had to go to Kurt Angle involving the ex-wife, now wife of Jeff Jarrett's. So definitely check out the archive of Wrestle Talk Radio. One of the funniest things to come out of this week's TV, and this is not a spoiler because if you're a fan of the Twitter account of one Michael Manna, who you know better as Stevie Richards if you watch his T4 show online. This came across Twitter today. Just left Universal Studios. Had a great talk with Terry Taylor and Vince Russo about making the decision to quit TNA Wrestling. Thanks to everyone there for the last 2 years. My jaw kind of hit the floor, but it also didn't because what's left for him? For fans that don't remember it, he did come into the promotion as Dr. Stevie. He was Abyss's therapist, so to speak, and then got involved with the Screaming Queen Daphne. To Kevin, was this a successful run for Stevie, and is he done? Do you see him maybe going back to WWE or just taking time to be the personal trainer that he is on the side?
I really don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of missed opportunities. If I'm not mistaken, his last appearance on TV was when he was either legit or whatever, injured by AJ Styles, where there was absolutely no payoff to that, which maybe there could have been something there, considering that at that point in time, I believe AJ was kind of in the background of Fortune, not really doing anything major. Obviously, Stevie Richards could have possibly put, you know, something together in terms of a good match with him. Is it time for him to maybe call quits and ring? Maybe. I could definitely see him being someone very viable backstage in either company. But I really don't know. I would like to say that it was successful because I am a Stevie Richards fan. I've always liked him. But just the way that the TV run ended, it just left a bad taste in my mouth.
Being you're an ECW fan from back in the day and currently Mace, the legacy of Stevie Richards, he is a mainstay character. He's been in all the promotions. Do you kind of feel the same way? Do you not want Stevie to disappear from the limelight?
Well, pretty much, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. I'm not really going to say anything one way or another. But was his run successful? I'm going to say no, because they pretty much treated the dude like crap the entire time he was there. Like, the whole Dr. Stevie angle just drove me nuts. But mind you, it got me Daphne, so I'm happy. But yeah, it's all up to him now. If he wants to go back to the WWE, then so be it. If he wants to float around the indies, so be it. Or maybe he might decide, hey, I've had enough, I'm going to sit back and retire and make sure I still have a body in 10 years. Then, you know, all the more power to him.
And I hope it's not that kind of a situation. As I said, there's plenty of folks, Northeast Wrestling we talked about, can use him, I'm sure, other promotions as well. Moving forward with this situation, Kevin, Anderson is your champion. Your next pay-per-view is in February.
The 13th?
I believe so. If you have the creative pencil here, and I know I'm loading up a big gun here to shoot somebody with, but without looking at their spoilers, if you have the pencil here and you've got Anderson as your champ, is your main event at the February pay-per-view Anderson defending against Matt Morgan, or do you go in another direction?
unfortunately, they kind of backed themselves into a huge corner. Obviously, I guess Jeff Hardy would be the logical choice, but who knows whether they'll have a, you know, prison number at that point in time.
You can bail him out of jail. We talked about it last week, dude. We'll have the pay-per-view in Cameron, North Carolina's jail system. It'd be awesome. Russo's salivating.
That would be very interesting, to say the least. The thing with Morgan and 617 with Anderson, I like both their characters. I can't really say I'm a huge fan of their in-ring work. I'm not blown away by either man. So it's almost a crapshoot. I mean, do you throw an RVD there? Do you? I honestly don't know. I think Morgan's probably the smart choice. Hardy would be the obvious choice, but who knows? Maybe they could just have a tournament and put me out of my misery.
Okay, Mace, the same question to you. Do you want to see Anderson defend against Morgan? Do you want to see him take a month off? What works best as we approach Against All Odds on February 13th-ish?
Taking out the magic ink pen, I'd say we get the Trix Rabbits in there, the Lucky Charms Leprechaun, and Ronald McDonald, because they'd be a better contender and probably more watchable than anything TNA will actually put on. But in a serious trend, I'm probably going to have to agree with Kevin here and say that Jeff would be the quote-unquote logical choice, despite the fact that he's quite possibly going to jail.
That's a shame.
Yeah, we're really, really feel bad for Mr. Hardy there, but you're the one who got caught, dude. And let's hope this isn't one of those Lindsay Lohan, Nicole Richie, Paris Hilton. He's in jail for 25 minutes. And okay, have you learned your lesson, Jeffrey? Yes. Okay, you promised not to do the drugs again. Yes. Okay, cool. Go back and be a world champion. No, this dude needs to do some jail. I'm sorry. You know, you
do
the drugs.
Pull the trigger in that. If he was released early, whatever. Do you think TNA would actually have the testicular fortitude to put the belt back on him?
I think from us as the internet wrestling community, we make crap on the idea. I mean, this is the same company to transition for a second there. If you're a fan of, I wanted to bring this up because my wife and I watch Extreme Makeover Home Edition every so often, and only by luck did I go to her, hey, I need to DVR the show this week. Why? And I was like, just trust me, I'm getting there. So watching Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and it's about this family in Kentucky. The father has a wrestling gym in his house for his children to play wrestle in high school, and they're MMA star Randy Couture introduced them in a movie theater to have Ty Pennington and the crew come in. And it's like, cool, this is awesome, Randy Couture. And there's Dan Gable, one of the wrestling legends. And all of a sudden, in walks in, wait for it. That's right, Kurt Angle walks in and stays for about 15 minutes of the show and helping them build this wonderful facility at this people's houses with four different mats in the ring area and cameras up above so they can film this thing. And my wife said, that's really wonderful. I said, yeah. She's like, how come you didn't tell me about that from watching Impact? And I said, guess what, hon? It wasn't on Impact. This is a story, guys, that WWE would have jumped up and down like crazy, had a camera film crew there. And look what WWE did with, you know, Stacey Keibler being on programs, Maria Kanellis being on programs before she was let go, obviously. Now John Cena and his charity work all around. Doesn't this just bother you a little bit? Your world champs possibly going to jail and one of your stars, granted on TV's not exactly on right now, is involved with a wonderful charity TV show. Wouldn't you, as TNA media Stephen Godfrey, have jumped up and down going, Kurt, we're going to film this. We're going to put it all over the place. My rant is done.
the only reason why I might give him a pass on that was because it was up against the pay-per-view. But as you're saying, obviously, you're going to have a lot of negative publicity coming up. that's a pretty good story. I teenage marketing is just ridiculous. But my question is, on the show, was Kurt Angle presented as TNA wrestler or Olympic wrestler?
He was presented as an Olympic wrestler, a former multiple world champion, but TNA was never used by Ty Pennington and them.
That's great.
Yeah, the other thing to come out of this week's tapings, thanks to fans of Twitter and Jersey Girl mentioned this, and we've got it here listed as well, Dixie Carter can't keep that darn BlackBerry out of her hands. She says she's proud to announce that Jesse Neal has been signed to a new 3-year contract. He has come a very long way in a very short time, so congrats to him. If you're creative with the beer money situation and what you may see this Thursday on TV, who is the next logical attackers to beer money? Is it Ink Inc? Is it Jen Me? Who's next in your eyes, Mace?
I would not have a clue because TNA's tag division is going the way of the WWE's. It's getting smaller and smaller to find decent teams in there. To be honest, I'm quite stumped as to who to put in the tag title picture. I've got a feeling that they're probably going to try and somehow feud the guns against Beer Money once again, just to try and draw some people in to watch the shows.
Ink might be the answer, but really, what have how they've been presented in the past couple of months? Like I said, they keep putting themselves into a corner, and then when something happens, they're like, "Oh, well, we never planned out the next logical step." Mm. That's just TNA.
And being a Long Island resident and me being a former one, we asked Phil about this the other day when he was here last week. How much buzz was there, if there was any, on Long Island for the event that was at Westbury Music Fair this past week in your neck of the woods? Was there any at all?
Zero. Absolutely.
Wow.
I live in an area where there's probably, I'm going to say maybe five local independent companies. Three of them are rather well-known. Two of them kind of show up once in a while. They have flyers, posters everywhere, streets, corners, inside the shop windows. You see stuff put on cars, little bar ad type things.
So someone like NYWC is in your neighborhood.
Exactly. Yeah, NYWC, Victory Pro Wrestling, Fight the World. There's a lot of small companies, and they promote their shows nonstop, and you see everything everywhere. I didn't see a single ad, didn't hear anything on the radio, nothing in the local newspaper, nothing.
And that doesn't surprise us at all. We're going to take a quick time out here. Kevin may or may not stay with us. If he doesn't, definitely PoughkeepsieJournal.com is where you can find the Under the Ring blog, which Phil Strum is a part of. Had a great article with Matt Hardy, which is involved in this weekend's event. We'll take a quick break here and we'll come back and we will talk all the fun of WWE as we head to Royal Rumble in Boston, and we'll talk some indie shows, including one that I'm going to be attending this weekend. All in World of Wrestling Radio here on Elvis Presley Birthday Night. We'll be back.
There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. And I am just a devil with love to spare. So viva Las Vegas, viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than the 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel, a fortune won and lost on every deal.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com.
News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And some more.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pro choose. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Coming soon to the Wild Talk Radio Network, a show that honors all the men and women who have sacrificed their lives, a show that pays respect, and a show that pays tribute to us. That's right. Join us as we pay tribute to ourselves, as we hand out awards for the best show moment, best phone call, and even best show. We will also be paying tribute to one of our own by handing out the WTR Lifetime Achievement Award. Join us in the coming weeks for the first ever WTR Awards right here only on WildTalkRadio.com.
This is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Sophia Restaurant, may I help you?
Yes, I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want
chicken fried rice? No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely.
Thank you very much, baby. Makes me want a peanut butter and banana sandwich, baby. Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio with Wild Talk Radio Network. Kevin K. Scott of Under the Ring is staying with us to talk WWE news. Mace is here as well. This is obviously WrestleMania memories, so we need to do WrestleMania memories, and that would take us to April 6, 1986, when half of you weren't even born, which makes me old because I remember every 26 WrestleManias. WrestleMania 2 was at not one, not two, but three venues. The first one is one that Kevin and I have visited, and that would be the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, which featured Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff in a double countout with the Magnificent Morocco. Last week's guest, George Animal Steele, lost to the Macho Man, Randy Savage, that current Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. Jake the Snake Roberts defeated George Wells. The main event for the Nassau Coliseum event was the 10 rounds of boxing between Mr. T and Rowdy Roddy Piper. Mr. T won by a DQ, and Roddy Piper body slammed him in the middle of the ring. The Rosemont Horizon portion of the show, which also hosted WrestleMania 13 and WrestleMania 22, I believe, featured the Fabulous Moolah defeating Velvet McIntyre to retain her women's championship in a flag match. Corporal Kirshner defeated Nikolai Volkoff. Andre the Giant defeated 19 other superstars to win a battle royal. That included some of the NFL's greats. The British Bulldogs became the WWF Tag Team Champions, defeating last week's guests Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine, who were managed by the luscious Johnny V, and that rounded out that portion of the show. And then in the L.A. Sports Arena with Elvira, looking ever so fabulous with Jesse Ventura and the late Lord Alfred Hayes, Doorblade, Adrian Adonis defeated Uncle Elmer, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat defeated Hercules Hernandez, the Funk Brothers, Terry and Dory defeated Tito Santana and the Junkyard Dog, and in the Blue Bars of Craziness, the steel cage match that WWF was famous for in the 80s, Hulk Hogan defeated King Kong Bundy despite having injured ribs to retain his WWF World Championship, brother. This will probably be something we'll do every week. So WrestleMania 3, the granddaddy, the one that many people call the greatest of them all, is up on the chart next week. Either one of you have a favorite memory of that pay-per-view, if you've seen the box set or seen it online anywhere?
No. I think, actually, let me be honest, the Battle Royal in Chicago with William Perry locking up with several people, that was pretty cool. And yes, the Mr. T Roddy Piper match. I can't say I would ever tell anyone to watch it, but for me, growing up loving Mr. T and obviously Piper, who was just the coolest guy ever, that was at least fun.
Believe it or not, that's the only WrestleMania I've never actually watched, and I do have the box set. That's shameful, isn't it?
Sid, you're missing, but you're not. Because as I said, if you watch the New York version was hosted by Vince McMahon and Mrs. Dick Ebersol. If you're a TV fan, the name Susan St. James may mean something to you. If you're an 80s kid, she was on Kate and Allie with Jane Curtin. And then the Chicago venue was Gorilla Monsoon with Mean Gene Okerlund and 80s TV star Kathy D. Crosby, who I believe hosted That's Incredible, which was like a Ripley's Believe It or Not type show. So not one of the greatest pay-per-views that was put on by the company, but still, look at this roster. Hall of Famer Paul Orndorff, Hall of Famer Don Morocco, Hall of Famer George Steele, Hall of Famer Roddy Piper, Moolah Hall of Famer, Andre the Giant Hall of Famer, I believe Nikolai Volkoff is a Hall of Famer, Greg Valentine Hall of Famer. Lou Albano, I believe, is a Hall of Famer. My wife mocking me for no reason. She's not a Hall of Famer. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in. The Funk Brothers in. Santana, JYD in. Hogan in. Hopefully this year, King Kong Bundy in. Which leads us to one of the more interesting situations to come up. Before we even talk about Raw or SmackDown is, yes, it's time for WWE Hall of Fame, and many people, including us, have prognosticated and said, it's going to be WCW people filling it, man. They got to fill it with some WCW guys. We're in Atlanta. Well, the internet wrestling community spoke, and I'll let Kevin and May speak in a minute. because your first person in is the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, who just left the company last year and technically is still under contract. If you go to ShawnMichaels.com, surprised, not surprised, mad, don't really care, to Kevin.
As someone who is a huge Bret the Hitman Hart fan, I'll say honestly, I've never been a huge fan of Shawn Michaels. Maybe the arrogance of the character seemed a little too real for me at some point in time. Obviously, Montreal, blah blah blah. There's a lot of different things there. Not the original incarnation of DX, but after it seemed that the entire show was built to placate Michaels and Triple H's ego, I just never cared for him whatsoever. I will say that following WrestleMania this past year and then the next night in Raw where he gave a speech, I did get a newfound respect for the guy. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't have so much a problem with the fact that it's now, even though I do think that if they had waited a couple years, it might have meant more. It might have been special. Because the announcement, I mean, obviously they overhyped it, at least for me, from the beginning of the show, where I was thinking, oh, my God, they're going to say Randy Savage or, you know, maybe even San Martino or something just so far out there that you wouldn't really expect. And then when the clip started and realized San Antonio, I was like, okay, it's HBK. Totally, just, it was like the balloon deflated for me on that one. Like I said, I really wish they would have waited a couple years for it. Plus, obviously, with with HBK being the headliner, that kind of puts the hopeful categories of the WCW guys or whoever else, especially Savage, I kind of don't want those guys to go in this year because they're going to be overshadowed by the need to, by Vince's need to revisit history to make HBK the greatest wrestler of all time.
Because Mace, the thing that happened over the last couple of days, it was like, oh, the first one's coming, it's going to be, and then Arn Anderson's name came up because of what we said on here, and people listen to us talk to other people, and they say, hey, Alan and Mace are, you know, talking about WCW people, and you know, he's in the company, you know, Arn's there, and instead we get Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I can't really say that I was overly enthusiastic about this, you know. Like Kevin, I'm not a huge Shawn Michaels fan. I whooped the guy's butt on SmackDown versus Raw 2011 last night in 130 seconds. And that was including putting the bugger through a table. Undertaker storyline. Awesome. I way too soon to put Michaels in. And if they're going to put WCW guys in afterwards, it's going to make them look even worse by comparison. Because, as has been said, you know, Vince loves his revisionist history, especially when it comes to WCW. As many people, anybody who has seen the recent Bobby the Brain Heenan DVD would notice, is that they pretty much blamed all his illnesses on WCW. That's because, you know, God forbid, wow, No illnesses come out of the WWE.
And nobody gets sick, there's no drug problems, and nobody but nobody used steroids. The man that we all wish would be sitting on Monday Night Raw at this time is not, unfortunately, but wow, did they give him a big chant in Nashville last night. Jim Ross endorses the idea of someone we've brought up on this show, Sting, into going into the WWE Hall of Fame in his latest blog at JRsBarbecue.com. Yes, we've written them. Yes, we're trying to get them. Fingers crossed. Pray to the buddy Christ and everything else. Mr. Ross says, and I quote, yes, I used that, deal with it. I actually don't know the answer to that one, but suspect that Sting is still officially with TNA. Nonetheless, many fans hope that Sting is inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame in Atlanta at WrestleMania 27. Theoretically, if Sting were not looking for another wrestling company, it would be a splendid idea. It still might not be it still might be. That's not for me to speculate on. Sting was the first and only WCW star that Turner's people, quote, made in Atlanta that never wrestled for WWE, as best that I can recall. I'd love to help produce the definitive Sting DVD someday, as I was around him when he first started in the business and teamed with the Ultimate Warrior. Yes, they were originally known as the Blade Runners. So back to Kevin. With Shawn Michaels being here, as you mentioned, he's your marquee name. Does Sting possibly trump Shawn Michaels as the big name here?
Oh, yes. I'm not even that big of a Sting fan, but Sting. I mean, he was WCW. Granted, yes, obviously Ric Flair. But Sting was the baby face that everyone put the hopes and dreams upon, actually toppling Flair. Like I said, right now I don't want him to be inducted this year now because of the whole fact he will be completely overshadowed, just in terms of how the WWE presents it. Obviously, Atlanta is the perfect place. It would even be 10 times better if Flair could be a part of the whole thing, but obviously that's not going to happen. From my understanding, Sting is a free agent. I could be wrong. I don't believe he is tied to a contract right now with TNA. And that's why I thought he didn't return last year for the final pay-per-view because of that, you know, hoping that he was going to try to free himself up for something with the Hall of Fame. For my money, Sting getting to the Hall of Fame is a much bigger story than HBK, especially at this point in time.
And to across the net to Mace, Sting to the Hall of Fame in your eyes? Would he be the perfect choice, being that we're in Hotlanta and it was the home of the Omni and WCW?
Well, I actually was the other opinion when we brought this up on WTR. I don't really like the idea of Sting going into the WWE Hall of Fame. If there's a wrestling Hall of Fame, then by all means put him in there. But you got to remember, this is the WWE Hall of Fame. They seem to want to bring the guys that have done something for the wrestling brands that they own, or that have worked for them, or that they can get to work in some capacity for them. Sting is not that guy, never has been that guy, and probably will never be that guy. But if they do decide to induct Sting into the Hall of Fame this year, then, yeah, it'll be the name that definitely trumps Shawn Michaels, at least in the fans' eyes.
And we'd love to see, at least in my eyes, I would love to see a WCW-like thing. And don't worry, we're going to be talking about this in the coming weeks because of, I believe there's going to be at least maybe another 6-7 names. I can't remember. I may be wrong. Sometimes it's 6, sometimes it's 8, depending on tag teams and whatnot. So hopefully we'll be mentioning Sting's name, maybe Arn Anderson, Randy Savage is always coming up. Let's get into this past week's programming itself. Last Friday's edition of SmackDown did, wow, a 1.95 rating, which is a 2.845 million viewers. That is the best number yet that they have had on Sci-Fi. You can bring that up. And also, thanks to Nielsen Media Research, we found out that last night's Monday Night Raw did a 3.1 cable rating with 4.6 million viewers. Now, that's pretty good considering a few channels up or down the dial wherever you live was the BCS Championship game on ESPN that drew the highest audience in cable history with a 17.76 rating or 27 million viewers. So the best question to come out of this is, Mace, since we've addressed this and we'll let Kevin join in a second here, this blending of the shows. Last week, Alberto Del Rio appeared. Last night in Nashville, he appeared again, unfortunately defeating Ron Killings again, this time by countout, thanks to Mr. Rodriguez. And then he was also the brunt of the super kick of Shawn Michaels. Is this because this ratings changed on Friday night because you now have them both under one house in the NBC Universal umbrella of, I don't have to search for the my TV in my neighborhood. Sci-fi, boom, I know where I'm going. Is it that? Is it creative, changing things up with a with Edge's champ again? In your mind, explain if you can.
Well, I'm not exactly 100% sure what you're wanting me to explain here. The only thing that I can bring out of this is stop trying to shove Alberto Del Rio down my throat because I'm starting to gag on him.
So
I don't like the gimmick. I don't like anything about him. Stop trying to shove him down my throat as the next big thing.
Okay. I didn't expect that answer, so give me a moment to collect myself, so to speak. Okay, so to Kevin, is it this cross-branding that they're all under the Universal NBC Universal umbrella now, that you're seeing a shift in the rating? Is it creative, or is it just the whole cyclical wrestling thing that we keep hearing people talk about?
I think it was a necessary move on the part of the lax of the brand extension, whatever, simply because no one was really tuning into sci-fi, at least people that I know. Now, obviously, it seems like there's a SmackDown wrestler every other segment on Raw. You do get to go, oh, yeah, I remember him. Why am I not watching on Friday night? So that in my eyes, is the reason why maybe SmackDown's ratings have gone up, maybe the reason also why, you know, you watch both shows now, you get a little more interest in the product. So Raw is obviously going to benefit from that also. I'm not sure if it's so much the creative aspect, because obviously I haven't watched SmackDown, to be quite honest. But with Raw, I can say that the past couple of months I have been tuning in for the first time in a while, and I'm enjoying it. I like the stories for the most part. Absolutely love CM Punk and that direction they're going right now. So maybe I do have to give a little bit of credit to what they're actually coming up with in terms of booking.
It's a little weird because, unfortunately, Mace, we're seeing, at least on the Raw side, you saw at least this past Friday night, you saw the ending of Kane and Edge, you saw the ending of Ziggler and Kofi somewhat, you saw Alberto Del Rio and Rey end, and you did see some stuff launch as we found out Dolph Ziggler is the new number one contender, defeating Big Show, dashing Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. Also, we have the appearance of Wade Barrett on this show, but also you've got, you know, John Morrison and Sheamus again on Monday Night Raw, Daniel Bryan, Mark Henry taking on DiBiase and T.J. Wilson. That's kind of a remix of stuff. You have Randy Orton and Jerry Lawler taking on The Miz and Alex Riley. As mentioned, you had Del Rio. Is this something we're going to possibly see as we head to the Rumble, Mace, that we're just going to see them say, okay, these matches seem to be working, the ratings are proving it, so let's keep this kind of thing going?
I originally figured that this was just some way for them to hype things up leading into WrestleMania, let alone the Rumble. If it's working, then go with it. If it doesn't work, well, then back to the brand split we go.
And that's one of the things that's come up on recently, Kevin, is this keep, we're going to do this by Mania, we're going to get rid of it, everybody, we're going to have one belt, everything's going to be great, and I'm not sold on it yet, especially, you know, if you're Royal Rumble, and as of this moment, the Rumble card really hasn't changed other than, you know, you got your battle royal, whoever wins is the contender. You've got Miz and Orton, and now you've got Edge and Ziggler. Is this a test balloon for Dolph Ziggler to see if in the next few months, say maybe Money in the Bank rolls around, Ziggler possibly wins this thing? Or is this a one-off like we've had in the past where Bob Holly fought Brock Lesnar, or you had something along those lines?
I would say I believe that they're actually are getting a clue where maybe a certain other company down south's not. They're doing a youth movement.
it's obviously been there for a little bit. They've elevated Morrison to maybe not, 100% main event status, but you do accept him there. Obviously, The Miz, complete 180 from where I thought he was going to be, just a few months ago. They're getting it. They know that they're between people who will be retiring probably quite shortly. Obviously, injuries are always a problem. They have to not so much figure out who's going to be the next superstars. They pretty much have to jumpstart the next generation now. And this is Ziggler's test. If it's if the fans respond to it, great. If not, they'll have to retool him and try to find somebody else to put in that spot.
One of the folks in our chat room said, I think that the secondary championship should float and the main championship should not. So the idea of seeing the IC champ and the U.S. champ on either show, does that interest you at all, Mace? Or are you changing your mind or not changing your mind on one world champ to serve them all, so to speak?
I was actually a fan of the one champion floating his way around, because then it made both shows more interesting by having all the other guys competing to take on this one champion, as now it's all the guys going on for that show's champion, and the only time that we ever got to see any cross-brand feuds or contenders was when the Royal Rumble event came along. So I'm definitely a supporter of one champion.
This came across the newswire a little while ago, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna preface it because it's been reported on numerous sites. Sirach and our tech producer is trying to find it for me so I could read it word for word. But the basic gist of what has come down from WWE corporate through the minions and leaks and whatnot is, from here on out, if WWE signs anyone to a developmental deal or possibly even a straight-up deal, it's Logan's Run time, kids. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, find the movie Logan's Run. If you're under the age of 30, you're signed. If you're 30 or 31, no thanks, we don't want you here. To Mace, because I said you do this as a living, on and off, does that ring bells in your head of going like, oh God, now I gotta watch the clock, I'm 26, I'm 27, oh crap, I'm 29, the Fed may not want me now, or is that something smart on their end, in that we want someone the age of like Jay Lethal, who's in his early 20s, or Saban and Shelley were in their early 20s, or Teddy DiBiase, who's in his early to mid 20s. Is that good, bad, middle of the road?
Well, for company outlook, yeah, the younger guys will be better because you can build them up to be the wrestlers you want them to be, but at the same time, you have the chance to make them marketable and keep them around for the many, many years that they're going to be under contract. For guys like me that are 27, crap, I got 3 years left. Like, that's going to disqualify a lot of indie blokes. Because I know a lot of indie blokes, unless you're going to try and get straight into FCW at the age of 20, instead of going around honing your skills on the indie circuit like most guys would, you're now going to be... Either you go work for the WWE and pray to God that they sign you straight away, or you're screwed.
And that, unfortunately, Kevin, means that some guys like a Low-Key, Caval, a CM Punk, a Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, Tyler Black, who have worked the indies for years honing their craft. Matt Stryker, the announcer, is a former indie star as well. You know, that kind of bodes for certain people, like a Roderick Strong, who's out there and is young, a Davey Richards, if he ever wanted to, if he's not going to retire and be a fire person, or someone like, you brought up NYWC, someone like the Greek god Papadon, who's got a great look. There's some kids in the Northeast that are ROH or NYWC, that it kind of scares the heck out of a lot of people, doesn't it?
Not that I had any chance of joining. I'm going to be 34 this year.
So that kind of like goes, wow, that definitely rung a bell in my head. I would say it's middle of the road simply because wouldn't you still want someone of experience to, you know, work with these guys in ring? I like the idea that you are thinking, obviously, of the future. That's a great business move, from especially what we've seen where maybe sometimes you've watched where guys who are definitely maybe past their prime were sticking around a little bit too long. It was kind of cluttering up for the younger guys who weren't able to get an opportunity. If it works out for them, you know, it's going to be one of those things where it can work. You would like to see maybe the younger guys have that opportunity to establish themselves, which would be great. At the same token, there is there's a lot of value in having a name, and most of those guys who are under the age of 30 aren't going to have that name.
Wow. And this just in, as we wrap up our WWE talk and we'll transition into some indie stuff. This official statement has come from Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has completed its 2-year TV contract with HDNet. During this time, ROH and HDNet fans witnessed many great matches, the introduction of the ROH television title, and the crowning of new tag team champions, among other historical events. HDNet will air new episodes of Ring of Honor until April 4th. Please continue to support ROH and watch these events on HDNet. Negotiations are underway for HDNet to broadcast a live special in 2011, and we'll bring you more information as it comes available. Ring of Honor Wrestling would like to thank HDNet for the last 2 years, especially those behind the scenes that made it possible at every single taping. That also came from the friends over at the Wrestling Observer newsletter, that it looks like, wow, for fans that normally watch Monday night and watch at 8 o'clock and then go right into WWE television, the final tapings are set for the 21st and 22nd of this month in Philadelphia. So that's a sad thing to hear, but may lead to something different, Mace.
Yeah, well, it may lead to something different, or it may lead to them having to go back to their old DVD distribution method. It's a shame that independent companies like Ring of Honor don't really seem to get the multi-year pickups that the WWE and TNA do, yet they put on a lot better class of wrestling.
Mm. In our meeting room moments with Kevin, who we thank each every time he's here, PoughkeepsieJournal.com, under the ring is the blog that Phil Strum created and gave a great interview with Matt Hardy recently. You also are their pontificator on TNA and come up with some great stuff there. For fans that want to follow you on Twitter, you are under, I believe it's Kevin K. Scott, all one word?
It's, I think, like the space between Kevin, not with space K, space Scott. I'm not on it as much as I should be, but I'm going to try to get back into it.
Yeah, they're on me here. They're going like, all right, you signed up for this thing, twitter.com, my name is Wojcik. Now you got to use it. And I'm like, do I really have to? And they're like, yes, pimp stuff. I'm like, fine, I will pimp. So we've done that. Thanks to Kevin for stopping by. We will probably see him again for at Against All Odds. And don't be ashamed to look him up. He can be found on Facebook and also through Under the Ring. Thanks for stopping by tonight. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, man. Have a good night, guys.
All righty. As we mentioned with the ROH stuff, we've got some shows of ours to fill. This came from our friend Missy Sampson, who works for WSU. She wanted to let everybody know that Defiant Pro Wrestling will be presenting Familia, which is a special tribute to the promoter Michael E. Milano. It is Saturday, January 29th at the Cheshire Parks and Recreations, Harmon Leonard Jr. Youth Center. That is at 559 South Main Street in Cheshire, Connecticut. Doors open at 5:30 with a 6 o'clock bell time. Tickets are available at the door for $15. Matches include Big Jim Sullivan taking on Len Oddity, Nocturne taking on BMT, The Shaft, Billy Ocean, will take on sorry, Bobby Ocean. I heard Billy, and all of a sudden I was like, yes, Caribbean Queen, cool. Taking on Chris Mooch, Missy Samson will be there, Ron Zombie will be there as well. If you're a fan of Chikara, you got new owners. Worldwide Media Development Corporation, or WMDC, of Reseda, California, is proud to announce that they have acquired Chikara Five Star Promotions of Philadelphia. Their executive director, Robert Lippincott, finalized the agreement through assistance of Karen Wright. Said Karen and Anton deserve all the credit for bringing this exciting property to Worldwide. After 9 seasons of reinventing an entire genre from the bottom up, Chikara is the premier band in its field, and it's time for the rest of the world to find out why. It is expected some of the directors of Chikara will be remaining on during the transitional period. Lippincott says, I understand that Dave Coulier has an office there, and I'm really looking forward to doing lunch with him. Ha ha ha. As we mentioned, don't forget the Northeast Wrestling event. If you are wondering, hey, dude, wasn't Jared Lawler booked somewhere else? Yes, he was. MECW, Main Event Championship Wrestling, is supposed to have a show this weekend in Monroe City, Indiana. And that due to that conflict, Mr. Lawler will not be appearing at the MECW event. He is going to be at NCW only. The MECW folks have said, don't worry. Don't go too far away, Tracy Smothers, because you will have an opponent that night. And that would be Mr. Lawler's longtime adversary, sometimes former partner. That's right. Superstar Bill Dundee will be heading in for the event. So it will be Superstar Bill Dundee taking on Tracy Smothers. Grandmaster Sexay, Brian Christopher, will take on the number one superstar, JD Maverick. The ladies' man, Just John and Fireball Roberts, will take on the bad boys. And that would be Jason Briley and Chris Thomas. Skank Barzini will take on the Canadian Cougar. Also on that show, Malibu Matt Boyce, Christopher Honeylove, Marvelous Mitch Ryder. That event is also a My 44 MECW TV taping. You can get the doors at 6. The bell is 7:30. Tickets are available at MECWPro.com. You can click the events tab or buy them the night of the show. This Friday night, ASW, Full Throttle Friday, will be taking place once again at Strokers Billiards in Tampa, Florida. Go to ASWFlorida.com. The main event of the evening is a championship match. The ASW Heavyweight Champion, Aaron Kanye Epic, who has been biting way more off than he can chew, will be taking on the former Florida Elite Champion and member of the FXE and a guest of the show a few weeks ago, Biff Slater. Definitely check that out, ASWFlorida.com. We mentioned it last week. When Brutus the Barber Beefcake was here, he is going to be appearing in Sanford, Florida, at the Sanford Salvation Army Gym for Vintage Wrestle Brawl 2. This is a show at 700 West 24th Street in Sanford, Florida. There is a 7 p.m. bell time. General admission is $15 for adults, $10 for children ages 12 and under. You can purchase these tickets through the website, which is WrestlingVintage.com, or visiting 50 Million Toys or Raise Appliance in Sanford. You can also buy ringside seats for $20. There is a Platinum VIP package, which is $50 that gets you ringside ticket, commemorative Wrestle Brawl chair, autographed photo from one of your favorite stars. That package is only through WrestlingVintage.com. Some of the highlights of this show, as we mentioned, the Dream Team of Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine taking on Pete Cannon and Francisco Chiazzo, who are known as Double Deuce. The main event of the show is a Fatal 4-Way for the Vintage Heavyweight Championship. The current champion is TNA superstar Jesse Neal. He will take on the man we mentioned before, Aaron Epic, the Marquis Bruce Santee, and the former champion, the Stimulus, Sam Shaw. Also on the show is a Four Corners Tag Team Championship match. The champions, the European Union of Neil Faith and Adam Windsor, will take on the Dark City Fight Club, Los Vendejos. I know I just put a D in there, but who cares? And the uprising of Eddie Torres and Sideshow in a vintage internet TV title match where there is no time limit. There must be a winner. Amazingly enough, these guys are a tag team in other promotions. The Prodigy Mike Cruz will take on the Pretty Boy Gus Money. The Chocolate Rocket, Thomas Marr, will take on Biff Slater in a grudge match. QT Marshall will take on Nick Primo and in a special attraction boxing encounter. Maxwell of Chicago will take on Mr. PYB. He is Steve Goins. The special guest referee for that night is Last Call Leon Scott. And speaking of non-normal wrestling stuff, we do want to make mention that the Spug guy bounced out before we can say Spug lost. If you were here a few weeks ago with campus legend Brad Allen, him and Spug picked 11 bowl games. And the winner was the campus legend Brad Allen. He got 7 out of the 11 right. Spug got 5 out of the 11 right. So at some point we will have the campus legend back on this program to lock in the bet that I believe was Spug having to wear a University of Miami jersey at a future date. Boy, will that be interesting to see. We're still sorting out the winner of our fans' entry. There are a couple people that actually are tied. So we're going to draw their name from a hat tomorrow here at the office. Actually, my daughter will just go, okay, eeny, meeny, miny. Okay, that's the name. So stand by. At some point, you will get an email from us telling you what is going on. Next week's show, believe it or not, is already locked. It is locked in place because we're going to deviate a little bit from the WrestleMania memories, because we're going to promote one of my favorite promotions, and that would be WSU, which is Women's Superstars Uncensored. They are having their iPay-per-view this coming, it is on the 22nd, and it is known as the final chapter, and we will have not one, but both ladies from the main event, the All Guts, All Glory champion and former WSU world champion Angel Orsini will be joining us, and the woman who got us nominated for one of 3 Wrestling Radio Awards. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com, vote for Female Interview of the Year. Mercedes Martinez, the champion, will be here. You can also vote for us on that site for Show of the Year. I think you can vote me in as Host of the Year. I don't know. Depends on what day of the week I'm around. You can also vote for Media Interview of the Year with the King of Old School, Steve Carino. Our friends at WrestleTalk Radio are nominated for a couple awards as well. I believe they're also up for Show of the Year. And is Sir Rockin' on his headset? Because I want to make sure I get this right. Can he get on his headset?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Help if I plug it in.
Pimp, explain to the fans, if they haven't heard a commercial for it on the show Sunday night that I was a part of, we're having our own awards. And that's not All in the World of Wrestling. That's WTR itself. Talk about the WTR awards, if you can, sir.
It's called We Are Shamelessly Giving Ourselves Awards for the Jobs We Did This Past Year. You can vote for anything from Host of the Year, like me, Show of the Year, like OW Radio, or WrestleTalk Radio, or CB Radio, or Anything Goes, etc., etc., etc. You can vote for everything. Ranter of the Year, Phone Call of the Year, Interview of the Year, like Steve Carino. Best Impression, and here's a hint, Mace is going to win Best Impression.
The ballot box is loaded, dude. What do you expect?
Well, it's Sheamus, him as Kermit the Frog, him as, what's the other one? Ultimate Warrior.
And Tim, yes. And Tim Steines, the Canadian. So, most likely, Mace is going to win something in that category, but you can go to www.wildtalkradio.com/WTR awards. Vote once every few days. Don't spam the ballot. Don't cheat. Don't use 10 different web browsers. Vote once. Vote twice a week. And stay tuned.
Don't do like my friends are doing for the WrestleRadio, Sing Radio Awards. They're like looking at the clock going, it's been 24 hours yet? Cool, let's vote for our friends.
Right.
Is this true that apparently I am nominated for hanging up on somebody?
Your infamous moment here on this show, the moment we don't talk about, but it's what led you to become the official host of OWW Radio, is nominated for Show Moment of the Year.
Sweet!
So vote now, wildtalkradio.com/WTR awards. Enjoy, because we're going to have a big, big show February 5th, 11 p.m. Eastern, hosted by the end-all, be-all of the WTR, the funniest man on the network, Omega. He will be hosting it. And it's going to bring some laughs. We're going to have some fun. Everyone's giving out an award. Everyone should get something. And it should be a fun time. Tune in.
All right. Jersey Girl wanted me to mention this one because another friend of our network, Chance Prophet, is involved in an event. This is taking place for Vintage Pro at the Derby Arena, 1120 Crown Point Road, which I believe is Route 130. If I'm getting that right. In West Deptford, New Jersey.
That makes sense.
That's the reason this is being announced, is because this is also on the 15th, weather permitting, probably. The main event is the NWA National Champion, Phil Shatter, who you know as Gunner on TNA Wrestling. Yes, we broke kayfabe, oh my god! defending against Chance Prophet. Also on the show, the Monster Squad of John Dahmer and Anthony Graves taking on JoJo and the Latin Dragon. Also in action, Wax, Hideyukata Suzuki, Matt Tremont, Alex Payne, tickets are $13. For information, you can email atticus1367@comcast.net. And now it's time for other members of the roster to speak, because as I mentioned, Mace, not only being here, he's also on Wrestle Talk Radio, where he rants and should win for Ranter of the Year, especially after his Matt Hardy rant. He sometimes stops by CB Radio, which we'll let Rock talk about in a moment. But Mace is one of the trio that handles OTL, which is Otaku Talk Live. Now, for fans that are brand new to us, and I noticed a couple different names in our room tonight here, and I get different emails from folks going, it's my first time listening because you had George Steele, and I love it. I want to hear other shows in your network. For fans that are new, explain what Otaku Talk Live is to them.
Otaku Talk Live is your one-stop resource for geek news, frivolity, and all sorts of weird stuff. we can't really describe it without saying censorship words. But just to give you a heads up, we do have a little topic about the 25th anniversary of It's-a-Me, Mario! So tune in for that one.
As the tagline says, it's geek talk done right, so to speak.
And that's always a fun thing. Now, this past Thursday night was the return of Anything Goes, and I do believe you had the winner of the X-Pac lookalike contest on. And if you're not getting my reference, that means you haven't seen the U Shoot with Sean Waltman, and that would be adult performer and former boyfriend of Tracy Lords, Tom Byron, was on the show. Does Cindy have another adult guest coming on this week, Rob?
We don't have a guest scheduled. I'm not even sure if we're doing a show, but stay tuned to CindySin.com or Facebook.com/CindySin, and we'll let you know. But the show will be airing eventually once in a while on the network. We're going to have some surprises all year long, and it's going to be fun when we do show up, because people like the show. We just got to work things out.
Am I allowed to pimp this event on Friday?
It's a historic event this Friday night because the last probably time you'll ever hear them running the ropes this Friday night with some, what's her name? Isis the Amazon or something like that?
Yes.
Tune in 6 p.m. Eastern, running the ropes.
Yes, and of course, what's the status of the TD Top 20? Is it gone?
It's on hiatus, so I can speak properly on a radio show tonight. Awesome. It's on hiatus because of work schedules. We'll be back. Who knows? Just keep checking it out. We always have something going on Saturdays because it seems like we do a lot of UFC talk, and it's going to happen not this Saturday, but the week after. We're going to be doing live from tapouts to knockouts and then coverage, quote-unquote. So tune in for that. We still give you something on Saturday nights leading up to the main event of Saturday night. Your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. CB Radio, hosted by me, the self-proclaimed god of internet radio. And
are there T-shirts in the making? Come on, there's got to be.
There will be. Just check out the website. Will have T-shirts in the making. They'll be probably $15. If you want to buy one, buy one. They're going to be awesome. But yeah, tune in. We give stuff away, like Tim Stein seat on WTR, or some people. We gave away people. We gave away Mace. We gave away Rob. We gave away Sub. We gave away Will. We gave away Keeks. And we give away just about anything. And we do random stuff. Prank calls. And whatever else we can think of. It's a loose format show where anything can happen, and we really rely on everyone tuning in, coming in chat room, calling in live, because it's an interactive show. It's fun. It's Saturday night's entertainment. Tune in, CB Radio.
And of course, this Sunday, there's a great reason to tune in at 7 p.m., and that would be our friend and mine, possibly the BFF of OWW Radio. And that would be Life is Callous with Johnny Cashmere.
And if you have not listened to Johnny,
he is amazing. And he's got, tell him who's on this week.
Chef Morrow.
Pretty cool.
Chef Morrow from TLC's Cake Boss will be on the program this Sunday night. Check out the last 20 minutes for that interview. It's going to be awesome. They did a really good job, and there's going to be a surprise as it happens. So tune in. You don't want to miss it. The Chef Morrow interview on Life is Callous with Johnny Cashmere, 7 p.m. Eastern.
And, of course, this Sunday night, 10 p.m., because there is no pay-per-view.
Thank God.
The folks at Wrestle Talk Radio, and that is Mace, that is Spug, that is Omega, that is Will when he's not moving computers or being angry at the world, and of course, Tim Stein, and the god of internet radio, the producer is always Sir Rockin'.
Yes, and we're going to talk about everything you've probably covered and more, because there's a whole another week of wrestling to come. And we have our round table, we have our quick hits, and coming back is the great debate in the next couple of weeks. So tune in for that, Wrestle Talk Radio, the iconic show of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, and thanks to, as always, I haven't thanked in the last couple of weeks, thanks to the big bosses, Jason Didrich, Brad Dykens, Tim Stein, and Sorokin, because I am the luckiest person around. I get to talk wrestling, I get to talk on a radio show, and I get to have fun. I got to talk to Lanny Poffo tonight, man.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks to the genius Lanny Poffo, Leaping Lanny Poffo, however you wish to call him. He was great. Thanks to Michael O'Brien. Go to NortheastWrestling.com. Check that show out. If you live anywhere in New York, New Jersey, get up there for WrestleFest 15. Thanks to Kevin Scott. We wish Spug the best in plowing his way across the state. We hope Mace does not have the flooding issues that he has been seeing on the news. And thanks to all of you. Thanks to the King of Rock and Roll for providing our soundtrack tonight. And Mace requested a special one at the end. Tell him who we're playing out tonight, Mace.
This one is a very big classic, probably one of the more... How to describe this one? Sort of semi-religious, but yet very, very powerful, an American trilogy.
All right, kids, don't forget, next Tuesday night, Mercedes Martinez, Angel Orsini, other stuff coming. We've got guests booked. Can't reveal them yet, because that would give my chance to people to go, but I can get them on another show. No, you can't, because we are the best. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Be a part of our forum at OWGBSIS. Malin Wojcik, take it away to the king of rock and roll, baby.
Oh, hush.